Are we still waiting for Jay? Is that the issue?
Yeah.
So.
Somebody want to text him and ask him what's going on?
He sent a text this morning, like literally a few minutes ago, saying he was going to be calling in.
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
All right, I'll text him.
Where was that? Yeah, he sent a text at 7:45.
Yeah.
I didn't get a text.
I'll call him to the budget meeting.
Okay.
So
I got him.
Forget. Okay.
Yeah. Did Lynn text you guys?
I did see a note from her, yeah. Oh, yes, I did see that text. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, we can call the meeting to order with just Paula and I.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So
and I'm going to be taking minutes, just so you're aware. Okay.
So I will, Kathy Kozel will call the meeting to order at 9:07 a.m.
Okay.
Today on, what is today, December 16th.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. All right. So the discussion on 7 Biasca. So, Kelly, if sometime this afternoon, if you're around, I know you're getting kind of geared up for tonight, but I can meet you up there. It'd only be a 15-minute, conversation, I think.
Name a time, Kathy. I'll be there.
Okay. Okay. All right. How about right after this meeting? That
perfect.
Way it's done. Okay. Yep. I'll meet you up here.
Else?
Yep.
Yeah. Just let me know when you're headed.
Okay. All right.
Because I won't be here till the end of the meeting, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. Yes. Like I said, we'll do the DPW stuff first and then discuss the rest of the other issues. So, Paula, did you get a copy of the spreadsheet, which I sent out kind of late yesterday?
Yep. Yeah, I downloaded that, and I have the thing that Jay sent something out to that I haven't looked at.
Okay.
Let me just ask, since I'll be taking minutes so Donna can work, is there anybody else on the call listening in?
Nope. I'll let you know if there are, caller, okay?
Okay. All right. That would just be helpful to be aware. Okay. It would be nice to be able to know.
Since Jay kind of consolidated, how many here? 9 warrant articles that we've been discussing over the last year and a half. He's familiar with them, so do you want to just go through them, you and I, with Kelly here?
Well, I think the ones that pertain to Kelly we should talk about. Well, I guess the first question for Kelly is the basic budget, your annual budget for next year.
You want to go back
obviously,
to the budget?
We're
okay,
way under. Why don't we do that first? It's probably easier since Jay is one that's more familiar. Maybe we should just talk about, how did you do it? Yeah.
Okay, the parts that would kind of affect Kelly, the line items would be, kind of the first one would be that buildings and grounds. We had $15,000 for 2020, and I put $15,000 for this coming year. We spent $9,500 so far. So I think the big part of that was the garage overhead doors.
Yep.
So if there's, I was thinking that maybe next year, if there isn't a big project, roofing or anything major like that, that maybe some of the renovations to DPW-1 could come from that line item, because the bathroom's not, I don't think the bathroom renovation is large enough to require a separate warrant article.
I agree.
So I just kind of left the 15. So,
is that the next big thing that needs to get done, or the next little thing, whatever it is? It's kind of a.
Yes.
It is.
I think that. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's
not.
It is. It's been long overdue, but it's not a costly item. A couple $1,000 will probably take care of it.
Yeah. Yeah. The big thing for DPW-1, Paula, is going to be that heating system. Last year we kind of thought it was on its last legs.
Yep.
And
so would that come out of here as well then? Would that come out of
that
here as well then?
You're probably looking at $10,000, I'm guessing.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So that may warrant a warrant article. That's something that I know Kelly's certainly put some thought into. Do you want to just replace the existing oil-fired boiler or we want to take advantage of the fact that we've got a propane tank back there already and maybe put in a more clean, efficient propane system.
Definitely propane. Definitely. That's the way to go. That matches up with everything else we have.
I guess here's my thought is if we do that as a Warren article, just, you know, if it doesn't pass, then you can't do it. Unless I guess we take it out of the budget. But I think we should think about, should we take it out of this budget? Because 15,000, we don't need 15,000 if we're not doing that. I mean, this seems like a lot of money to have in this line item if we don't really have anything but the bathroom, which Kelly's is going to be a couple thousand. I mean, I know little things come up here and there, but if we're not anticipating anything, we should probably lower this number.
Paula, if the voters say no to the Warren article, I think the no means no translates even to not using operating budget money for that expense.
Right.
So I don't think
if they say no,
you still might not be able to do it through the budget. But if it's in the budget, then it's in the budget.
And I guess my question is you know, if we know we're going to need the money, I don't know why it would be a Warren article. I mean, to me, Warren articles, I should probably read about what they are meant to be, but they're supposed to be things you need to get done. And if this is something that has to get done, if the furnace blows and you don't have a furnace, you're going to have a problem, right? We got water in there. We got to have heat.
Right.
So we have to provide heat. To me, that should go in the operating budget.
I kind of agree with that, too.
So I'd be inclined to leave this at 15,000, budget 15,000, and get both the furnace and the bathroom done out of here. And hopefully, you know, you've got a couple thousand left if you need anything else, you know. Yeah. Have we priced out a furnace? Is there anybody who could give us a price on a new furnace for that?
I think the only thing we've done so far is replacement of what was there. I think that there's enough people that are available to probably give a pretty dead-on quote on. Because the whole building's open, so it's going to be maybe costly, but it's an easy installation to do.
Is there anybody we could ask just to get a number on that before the end of the year?
Yeah.
So who do we use for heating and oil?
Who do you feel comfortable with?
Hey, I would probably Accutech. They're out of Conway.
Accutech?
They do things like that, yep.
Okay. So do you think you think Dan Whitelaw was a little expensive?
Yes.
Okay. Now, who was the guy
you
that
could
went...
go with, you could go with Accutech or Hertu. Hertu is really good. They do all Pullman stuff and a lot of municipality work, too. John Hertu is really good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Who's that? What's their name? Hertu? H-E-R-T?
No, it's
H-U-R-T-E-U.
Kelly, can you call one of them and get a rough number?
Sure.
Okay, that would be great. Yeah. I just want to make sure we have enough money in this line item for both of those things. If you're saying the bathroom's roughly a couple thousand, a new furnace is going to be, you know, and conversion over to propane.
Propane.
And we would want to go with AmeriGas, right, because of this propane thing we have? Yeah.
Yep.
So, because if you have a tank sitting there and it's not owned by AmeriGas, you might have to use their tank. They might have to put a new tank in. So.
Yeah, but if we own the tank, I think they'd be willing to fill that. But I think that tank only is used to heat the chem room.
Okay. Well, it might not be the right size because I think the guy, whoever installs the furnace, will help you take care of that, or you just call AmeriGas and they come over as well.
Yeah, we get that oil tank out of the DPW and we clean that whole area up. It would be more efficient.
Yeah.
It would be cleaner. So it's definitely in need of being done. So we'll leave the 15,000 in with the thought that, you know, and again, is that something starting next year you want to proactively do, or do we sit on the quote till the thing fails? I mean, I'm wondering if it was something we would want to do.
We do it. We do it.
ASAP.
Well,
yeah.
I think you had to
do it.
Maybe. You do it because I don't think you ever want to be in a situation where on a day like today your furnace goes out. You know. I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how long.
Furnace goes out, then nothing starts, and then we can't plow snow. So it's that important that we do it immediately.
So, but we can't do it. I would say to not do it until the annual meeting. Because, you know,
I would not do it. Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay, because the theory is we're only spending what we have to spend until the budget gets approved.
Yep.
Okay, all right. So that's, so okay, that affects Kelly. And then going further down that list.
The propane, well, propane will go up if we spend start to heat with propane. Or yeah. Oil also come out of that line. I guess it whatever it is, right? It actually might go heating, down because we have really good price on propane.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it says heating and then in parentheses propane. So whether it's heating oil or heating propane,
okay.
We can use it. We can keep that line item the same. And the electricity is really lights and all that stuff. We don't have any heating by electricity.
Okay.
Okay. So if we scroll down past everything and
the only thing I would say, Kathy, so are your numbers, so you put in 2,500 for electricity. Based on where we are so far, we're still going to get one more bill, and it looks like we're spending almost $200 a month. Is that right? $2,400, yeah. So I see, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So most of the things I didn't guess. I said, okay, you know, we've gotten our November bill, so take the total, divide by 11 times 12, and that's a good average.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you go past, and for Kelly, so now we're at highways and streets. I bumped up total salaries a little bit. I mean, Jeff got a raise. Kelly will get his review at the beginning of the year. So we spent $90,000 so far, and we've got two more pay periods to do. So that's pretty close to what it's going to come out to.
Yep. Okay. Okay. Yeah, he shouldn't worry about staffing. We'll take care of these numbers. I think we should go. Yeah.
Right. Well, part-time, you know, I think that's a good number for Tony. On-call will stay the same. Overtime will probably stay the same as well. I mean, those are all just based on historically how we've allocated money to those accounts. Okay. So equipment and maintenance. So I bumped that down a little bit. I think we're doing amazing. As far as what Kelly's been able to do on the repairs, maintenance, and supplies. I think this was a unique year that, like, nothing major happened. We didn't have any maintenance on the grader, the backhoe, but I don't think we should, and I think Kelly alluded to this, to not look at $31,000 and think that's a good number going forward, because we know that can't happen 2 years in a row.
Right, well, it's also confusing because that line being repairs, maintenance, and supplies, I'm not sure that everything's going to the right place. I don't think we've spent $31,000 in repairs. Actually, I know we haven't.
Yeah.
The tools are
Okay. Well, I mean, Donna,
Kathy, can you look up and see what we've spent on this line? Is it easy to access what we've spent the last couple of years on this line? If this is kind of a big one.
It's all in QuickBooks. I don't have QuickBooks on my laptop here at the house. But,
okay.
So that would be all the oil changes, all the tires, all the chains, all the services. It would be cleaning supplies. If you were buying, you know, shovels. If you were buying, I mean, it's a lot of the miscellaneous consumable stuff. But it's also repairs and service work on all the vehicles.
Can I jump in? That's unfortunately, that's incorrect, because that's what tools and equipment is for. That's why we've only spent $887 out of a $1,200 line.
Oh.
I'm sorry, $4,000 line.
Okay.
Right.
Repairs, maintenance, and supplies should only be – the supplies should be like – the oil for doing a complete change on the grader, which could be $400. You know, items like that, not shovels and rakes, that's all should be under tools and equipment.
Okay.
That's why the equipment line is way off.
Okay. So the equipment that we've got, I think that's, is that equipment? That was the chainsaw?
Yeah, that's about all you have on there.
Okay.
We've got a lot of other things that should be on there, too, that probably was put towards the wrong line.
Okay.
But that repair line should not be $31,000. That's, you know, I have a budget from 3 years ago, and the tools, the repair, maintenance, supplies was $14,000 spent.
Wow.
Tools and equipment, you know, it was $809, but we didn't have the it was a different year that year. Year to year, it changes, but that line seems way out of whack.
Wait, well, so you're saying it should be a lot lower or a lot higher?
It should be a lot lower, the expended.
The $2,000 that may belong into tools and equipment rather than repairs and maintenance.
Yes.
Okay.
At least.
You want to tell you in the office?
Yeah.
So maybe when we're, you know, we can kind of, if you want to ask Donna to show you, to print the detail of that cost center, that line item, she can do it. And
yeah,
if there's things that we want to move out of there, the thing is, if we take money out of there and now it's like $7,000, I'd hate to go with a $30,000 line item next year. I'd rather keep that a little high and keep the $42,000 for the line item.
The line item...
Well, I think that line item should be budgeted off of an average because repairs go up and down. I mean, right? Last year there were lots of repairs, way over. This year we might be low. So I think we've got to look to 3 to 5 year average and come up with the right number and not, you know, base it off of last year necessarily or this year.
We're trying to reinvent something that's been done, and we did an average years ago, and we went by averages, and the repair and maintenance supply line was 26. We spent 14. The proposed was 29. Under 30,000.
When are you talking about? I don't know. You're lost.
3 years ago. Yeah.
Three years ago.
Well, it's not. Yeah, I think what we want to do is. I hear what you're saying, but at some point it got reinvented. So it did get reinvented this year, didn't it?
Got reinvented.
Like.
3 years ago.
Well, let's just go back and look at the 3 or 4 year average. I don't care. 5 year average. And have that information with us when we go to the meeting. Because if we're going to put in more than we actually spent this year, you need to have rationale for it. So I think it's fine to budget more than what we actually spent, as long as we say we base this off a 5-year average, and that's kind of the rule going forward, or whatever it is, whatever Kelly's saying it was. But let's make sure we have the correct number.
And if you want to look at that 30,000.
Yeah. The argument that's going to come from the audience is that we have two brand new trucks, which, by the way, are covered by warranties. Okay, so any repairs to those trucks will be held by the manufacturer, not by the village district. So there's a significant savings, at least for the next few years, just on those two trucks. But the other thing we do have to keep in mind is that the larger trucks, or what I'll call the more expensive ones to repair, the bigger the truck, the bigger the bucks.
I hear what you're saying, Jay. I think you have to put in the right number and then defend it. You know what I mean? And say, here's why this number is what it is.
Right. I do think
and
it's
say, we took that into account. Yeah. And we should take that into account, you know, as long as we can defend the number. So, because you're not going to come up with a number out of thin air based on what the trucks currently are. You got to base it on history. You have to. Yeah. There's no other logical way to do it.
And warranty information. If you have warranties on the trucks, you can basically take those trucks out of this calculation.
That's fine, but it doesn't affect the number because you don't know what the other ones are going to be.
Right.
You always have a new truck. We almost have a new truck almost every year or two. So, you know, I guess the question becomes really, how many are not under warranty and which ones are they? But I think you've got to find the right number. So.
Well, unfortunately, there is no right number, you know.
That's what I mean.
As they tried to, for the budget year for 2019, the number they had was going to be the average, and we spent $100,000 in that line item. But
exactly.
It was a multitude of things that were unanticipated.
Right. Well, can we just pull the data? We don't have to decide today. Pull the information.
I just thought 42 is kind of a good balance between what we did budget and what we actually spent. And I thought, okay, somewhere in between those two.
The right number, my guess. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So if we get
something to think about.
Yeah.
Just my opinion, and this has been I've talked about this a few times. Ideally, you'd have a capital reserve for repair. that sits there just in case for emergencies, and that takes that line item way down to a more reasonable number. If you have that peace of mind that you have that capital reserve to fall back on, I know it's tough to establish, but at some point it needs to be established.
And that
would cover all vehicles.
Right. And I think that was the intent of having the capital reserve fund established. But right now we've got $1,700 left in that account. So
maybe we need to fund it.
Yeah, and Jay has that on his list, is to fund that that account.
Right.
So you said hopefully you could go to the voters and say, look, we'll lower the budget line item, but we would hopefully have them fund the capital reserve fund so that we weren't spending the money on other line items within the budget. It would be reserved specifically for those expenses.
Exactly.
Right. So as opposed to raising the budget of the year to cover repairs, you raise it once, feed the capital reserve, and then if you have to use it, you use it. But you're not collecting that money every year through a budget.
As long as you're not collecting it and spending it, though. I mean, here's the issue with what the capital reserve either wasn't funded or it's empty now. The idea of the capital reserve is that there's enough money in there. I mean, it could fund the $80,000 if you come up with another one of those awful years. But the other idea is that maybe you need a little from it every year. You need something from it. But it should continue, hopefully, to grow or to get to the point where you don't, maybe a year can go by where you don't need to fund it. But to say, we're going to lower it by $10,000 the operating and put it in the capital reserve, it's here nor there. I don't care what pocket you put it into. You're still taking it out of my pocket. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't care which account you put it into.
But Paula, the difference is, Paula, that if we put it in the budget and we don't spend it on that purpose, we can spend it wherever we want, technically.
Yeah.
So this way
I see what you're saying. Yeah. But same thing. If the voters choose not to spend it and then you get a repair, you have to I think we have to find that balance between the capital reserves and the operating budget. What's the right number for the operating budget? What's a fair number that we can anticipate for repairs? Not the obscene $80,000 repair that came along, but what's the basic number that you need to keep the number of trucks we have in service every year? Mm-hmm. What can we sort of anticipate? And say, you know, roughly, on average, it's about $35,000 a year. Could be higher, could be lower. And if it's higher, we've got a little money in capital reserve to cover it. And if some horrible big thing comes along, we've got capital reserves. That's how you should be kind of thinking about it.
Yeah.
So,
well, the proposed amount was $10,000 in that capital reserve account. So, if that's I'm hoping that this year's annual meeting will be a little more thoughtful, and that would make sense that we didn't fund it last year, and that we can take $10,000 out of that line item and put it into a capital reserve fund.
Yeah.
Okay.
But $10,000 out of what? I don't know. What are you taking out of the
repairs and maintenance of the equipment.
No, so you're going to say $10,000 less than you spent this year, or $10,000 less than you budgeted this year?
Well, what Kelly's saying is we should look at that $31,797 and look at the detail of it, and some of that may be moved down to tools and equipment.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So you're going to look at that and give us the actual.
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't be putting it in that. You'd be putting it in the tools.
Okay, so that's my error for that line, because that's what I was told to put it into, with the equipment maintenance.
Yeah, no, that would be maintenance.
Okay, I just want clarification.
Well, it is confusing, because tools and equipment, tools, shovels, rakes, hoses should be tools. Supplies, that could be paper towels, could be toilet paper. Why would that be repairs and maintenance? That doesn't fit in with repairs and maintenance, is buying your everyday supplies. So.
Okay, so that's where the issue is.
Okay.
Yeah.
And supplies, other supplies, Kelly, could be, you know, windshield washer fluid, and that kind of stuff. That does go with the equipment. That does go with the repairs and maintenance.
That
does it though? I mean, I don't know.
The paper. That should be supplies for the equipment, guys. So if you're buying paper towels, that should go under buildings and grounds. This should be equipment and maintenance for the trucks, for the equipment that we own, for the vehicles.
Right.
Period.
That's what
anything else can go under buildings and grounds.
It should almost be a miscellaneous supplies. Paper towels, we might wash windows, but we might also wipe our hands with them. We might be cleaning up the mess.
It doesn't go with the truck. I mean, come on. The truck's supplies should be things that you need to fix. You need for the truck. Oil.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
Things like that. That's what I always felt.
But that shouldn't, if you're putting smaller things in there, it shouldn't be affecting the budget that much. I mean, there shouldn't be anything major.
It doesn't affect the bottom line. At all.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what, Donna? We'll take a look at that 31. We'll take a look at the, you know, go over the invoices and maybe the ones that are from Lowe's and some of the non-automotive suppliers and just take a quick peek at them and maybe reassign them to a different category. But I'm guessing all the stuff from Napa and Sunel and Albany Service would all fall under the trucks.
No, not necessarily for Napa and Sunel.
I mean, we fix a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, all our tools, you know, we buy different parts for our presser or for our air tools or things like that would be for the shop.
Okay. All right, well, I guess going forward, maybe, you know, I know it's a pain in the neck, is make sure that when the slips get submitted to the office that we note on it if it's vehicle repairs and supplies or if it's buildings and grounds.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times it's just part numbers, and we have no idea if it's a hose. Is it a garden hose or is it a hydraulic hose?
Yeah.
So if we can notate on the slips while it's fresh in our minds, that would be the easiest way to get it all put in the right buckets next year.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to sit with Donna and see if I say shop or if I say maintenance or if I say, we're going to have to come up with the terminology to make it clear.
If you just put BG, buildings and grounds, it's stuff for the outhouses, if it's stuff for paint, like paint, for instance, you buy a gallon of paint for the buildings, that's all would be buildings and grounds.
The outhouses are for packs and racks.
Anyway, let's...
Okay, all right. So,
you also I think that next year is going to be a different animal because with our new plow fleet, it's basically taking the big truck and the grader off the road quite a bit. The truck and the grader were heavily dependent upon the last 2 years, especially last year with the 550. So it's going to be a different type of year, but I think it's the year we can lower some things if we look at them right.
Okay. All right. Well, if you look at the category then, if you look at the subtotal, that's kind of, you know, we can adjust within that category of equipment maintenance, but if you think the subtotal of $61,700, do you see that being closer to $51,000, especially if we can get $10,000 into a capital reserve fund?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do. I believe in that capital reserve so much that I think we can make that work.
Okay. So, Jay, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. The other thing, if you go down to the next line item on fuel, fuel's been very steady due to the fracking and the U.S. becoming almost self-dependent. I don't see fuel prices going very much higher. I took another 1,000 off of the anticipated 15,000. No, I'm sorry. I took 3,000 off on fuel, bringing it to a budget line item of 12,000.
Want to do 12 on that?
We spent 8 this year. I'm going to keep it somewhat high. Just in case we have to use those big vehicles. But as Kelly just mentioned, when the big vehicles get rested more, those are the big fuel hogs. They consume a lot of fuel. So we ought to be saving some money with our new fleet.
Okay. So I'm gonna take the repairs and maintenance number and put it at 32,000, the fuel at 12,000. We'll keep tools and equipment at 3,500. And then the equipment, the communications equipment repairs. I think that was, is that the radios and the all that kind of stuff in the trucks?
I think that's our phones too, isn't it? Is that our phones?
And your phone. Yep. Communication equipment. Yep.
Are those on contract? Like, is it a monthly fee? A monthly cost? So how much are they a month? What's the bill? What's the monthly bill?
It's also like the truck radios and antennas, and sometimes there's repairs and stuff that are necessary on the stuff that's physically in the truck. So it's not just
that's
the telephone.
Kathy, that's something that should be a basic repair. I don't think we need to add that in as communications. We haven't had a radio in 7 years. I haven't had a problem with a radio.
Okay.
That should be a more absolute number or close to it as what our phones cost.
Okay. So we have another bill to pay, so it'll probably be another $100. So you want to make that $1,000 even?
Well, if it's $100 a month, then it's $1,200. It's the right number. But I don't know why it hasn't been. Why it's only at $872.
So the additional $100 over the $872, I meant, for December.
Yeah. So, but why is it $100 for December? Is it going to be $100 a month going forward?
So the
I think
it's
about
$89. Yep.
Okay, let's just see what we're paying. We pay $65.27 a month.
Okay.
So why do we have a bill for $100 outstanding? What's $100 for?
Those were the new phones, Kathy, before we changed the plan. We changed the plan back in January of last year.
So what's the monthly cost going to be for next year?
Right.
Well, depending on the I don't know how the contract was decided, you know, was if there's a yearly thing on it, I don't know that, but right now it's
$27 a month.
$67.27? That's
$800 a year.
That's $807. But Verizon contracts, I didn't have anything that was with Kristen set that whole thing up, so I'm going to have to, I don't know if we'll stay on the bill. Let me see if there's a bill I can.
I believe that went down because we went to a commercial account.
We got the municipal rate.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So Donna, could you see what else do we post to that line item, that communication equipment and repairs? And I don't have that.
Let me just go to the chat of accounts.
Yeah, I don't have the
yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. I know I have it. Wait. It's a 4312.67.
Okay, just that's the only thing that's in that account, and as of this year, we're $937.62.
Okay.
And put in $1,000. What or $950? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's fine.
I think it's all. I'll change that to $1,000. So the only thing that we've posted that has been the Verizon bills.
Correct.
Okay. All right. We'll make that $1,000. Okay.
Can we just go back for a second? What did we decide to do with repairs, maintenance, and supplies? I'm just trying to get from my notes here.
We pushed it down to 32.
32? Okay. All right. I just want to make sure that was right. Okay. Thanks.
And on fuel, we went down to 12.
Yeah, I got
12,
that.
12,000 on fuel.
Yeah. Okay. I got the other two, 3,500. Yeah. Okay. I'm just doing this for the minute. So. Okay.
All right. And then
since we're doing that, we should keep the tools and equipment at the four.
Yep. You want to keep it at four? Okay.
Well, you never know. We have some pretty old tools and equipment now. No.
No, I agree. I don't disagree with that at all. Okay, so we're looking at $49,000 down from the previous budget of $66,000.
Right.
Okay. But we're assuming, I think, that we're going to get $10,000 put into a capital reserve account.
Well, that's the thing. If you vote against the capital reserve, the whole thing goes up in smoke.
I know. I know.
I think it'd be a good argument to make. I don't know why it would fall apart. But
I've got a good deal with people. And if we can show that we're reducing the budget by reducing the budget in that category by over $10,000, that you know the thought process is to set the money aside so it can't be spent on anything other than equipment on the equipment repairs.
Anytime people can reduce your spending, they like it. So I think they'd go for it.
Okay. All right, so we're down to the actual road maintenance itself. So, Kelly, this is where we really need your input. You know, I really didn't do anything to the numbers, only because you're the one that really has a better feel for where we're at, what we're going to have in back stock of salt, sand, and gravel, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, and salt is something that I can't get a deal on. I don't know anybody in the salt industry, so it is what it is. I think 18's high. I think we have a full shed right now, and I don't anticipate using but a little bit tomorrow. I think that what we have, I ordered one more load, like I talked about yesterday. I think we said that'd be 1,400.
Yep. And on my spreadsheet, when I did this, there's been one more since then. So there's been another, on the 9,500, there should be another 1,300. So if we've got 9,500, there's 1,300 that's already waiting to be paid. So that's 10,300 plus you ordered another 1,300 for delivery, right?
So yeah.
That's 12.
Wait, if we have a full shed, why do we have another shed? Wait, can I ask the question? If we have a full shed, why do we order more?
Well, I'll have a full shed.
Okay, yeah. I just want to be clear. Okay.
I already ordered it. I'm calling it.
So there's two. We've had two. So there's two orders we've had that haven't been paid for yet. One we have the bill in the office, and the other one we're still waiting for a bill. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct.
Okay. So you're going to come in around 12,000, 12,500. Yep. Sounds like okay. So question is, what we should budget for?
I think 15 is safe.
Okay. All right. So we'll make that one 15. Okay. Good. Yep. And then sand.
Why not budget 12,500? Why was this year so low? Was it because we didn't have a lot of storms in this? Like we need to have a reason, guys, if we're gonna put in more than
it's
we spent this year. You need to understand why. That's all. I thought we had a lot of ice last year.
It's the ice storm to kill us. We didn't have an ice storm.
I understand that.
This year.
But what was the situation this year? We had a lot of ice this past winter, the last winter, didn't we?
No.
Not after January.
No.
Okay. So the reason we're going to keep it a little higher than what we spent is that this past year was pretty light, and we're going into this season in good shape, but we don't know what's going to happen. So either this winter, and we don't know what's going to happen next winter in December.
Right.
I just want to think through this stuff so that we have a reason for it. Otherwise, you know. Okay.
I don't think anyone would ever think we're going too high. Higher is better with salt. That's why it got up to 18. People never balked at raising it and raising it. You never want to run out of salt. So that's something we need to be safe on.
All right. Just want to be sure.
By the time we get to present the budget, we'll be able to, they'll show that we've actually spent 12. That's why we're not knowing what the cost of salt is going to be, too. Even though the volume might stay the same, we don't have any control over what it's going to cost.
That's right. But okay. The volume can definitely fluctuate.
All right, so on stand, so we'll, Kelly, you'll have to get up and explain how the awesome deal was achieved and why we only spent $4,500 in sand this year.
Well, that's been kind of going on for the last couple of years, but last year, buying it early and buying it often, working with High Street Sand and Gravel, who we used to buy from Coleman's for a long time, and actually we used to buy from the place over in Ossipee, which was very costly because they trucked it all the way from the other side of Ossipee before my time. So, High Street Sand and Gravel has been very good to work with. He's a good friend, and we worked quite a deal because he was slow, and he called me, and we did well on it. So, sand, okay. Like I always said, sand is always high because it's unpredictable. Many times on the floor, people have stood up and raised the sand line. We're sitting on a full shed of sand right now, plus the pile outside.
Okay.
I mean, 10,000, I think, is a good number for that.
Okay. So the deal that we got this spring, that you got this spring, wasn't completely out of the ordinary.
It wasn't the last couple of years.
Okay. But we can't necessarily count on it either, but...
Correct.
Okay. All right. But if you think 10, if we had to pay the regular price for the volume of sand that we did get, plus, you said we do have some in reserve right now as well. So 10,000 seems like a very doable number.
Well, looking at the 4,400 that we spent, it's hard to go more than that.
Yeah.
And explain it.
Well, no, you could. You could, you know, for $4,400, we got how many tons of sand? And at the normal price, it would be 10,000. But because of that unique situation, that you were able to jump on that, and we got the same volume for $4,500.
Well, I think you're thinking
but
of
you're
the
going
gravel,
into the,
Kathy.
Yeah, Kathy, you're also going into the year sitting on all the sand. You bought at a low price.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
Your current reserve is at a low price. You can't put in the same budget. You got to go lower. I mean...
Right.
Well,
right, Kelly, but I wouldn't go long as 10. Okay. So, Kelly, it was the gravel where you got the phone call saying if you can take advantage right now. Oh, okay.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Okay. Yes. Okay. I'm sorry. I got those two mixed up. Sorry. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So the 4,500. So, okay.
Cool. We're putting 10,000. Makes sense. Good.
Okay.
Culvert.
And culvert.
I'd like to keep that where it is. I'm anticipating quite a bit of culvert work next year, mainly because the culverts we're coming across are all of the same age, and the ones we have replaced were pretty much destroyed. I think we're going to be seeing more and more of those.
Okay.
The 6,000. Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking of actually pushing that up a couple of grand, just to the point you just made. Every culvert that you came across this year that was metal of the same age, we know that there's nothing in the bottom of that culvert. They're all rotted out. And I think it'd behoove us to take an inventory of what we have remaining in our district with regards to metal culverts and just assume right off the bat that they're already rotted and go ahead and start a replacement project. We're not going to do it all in one year. But I think if we push it up to eight grand as opposed to six, we could get a few more culverts done this year. Because I think it was a great find, that one on Edelweiss Drive by Thusis Beach. That was incredible. The other one was the big Bergdorf culvert. We thought there were some rivets that come out of it. And come to find out, there was just no bottom to it. That's why that whole road washed out. So I think
But we only spent $3,200 this year. How are you going to? I mean, do we have the manpower and the time to do $8,000 worth of culverts? I mean, why was this year so low? If we have this problem,
the 32, is that taking into account the driveway culverts we did, or were those subtracted out?
No, those are separate.
No, if you there's $950 of that $3,234 that was driveway culvert that we billed the homeowners for.
$1,350.
Oh, we billed them $1,350. We billed out $1,350. Okay.
Yep, we got that Henderson. That wasn't added into your spreadsheet. $400.
Okay.
I mean, I hear you're my point is this, guys. I'm just playing devil's advocate. You want to do more than you did in the past, fine. But what you did this year was $3,200, not $6,000. So you're not taking it from $6,000 to $8,000. You're taking it from $3,200 to $8,000. Okay. Big difference. So just keep that in mind. That's how, to me, you have to look at this, not or look at the historical if you want to go back 3 years. But let's put the right number in for what we can realistically get done based on how much damage we think there is. That's all.
Yeah. So I think I would stick with 6,000. That's a lot of culverts.
It is, but size matters in culverts. The bigger the culvert, you can double your cost. So I think we can leave it at 6, but I'm going to look at my inventory and see if any of the bigger ones are actually in jeopardy. One big one could be a couple $1,000 project in pipe.
Now, would it make sense to purchase one of those culverts now?
Nah, not really. We only have a couple of larger than, I think we have a couple of 5-foot pipes that would be costly. I'll have to look and see.
Okay.
I don't want to cost to get close.
If an 18-inch culvert was kind of our standard for either driveway culverts or small street culverts, and if we had room, if we wanted to purchase a couple of those just to kind of get ahead of the curve.
Well, now we're purchasing for next year. And if you want to do that, fine, but a lot of people don't like that.
Okay. Kelly, what about the big culvert on Big Loop that we found a protrusion through the top of that culvert this year? We're going to have to repair that. And I'm not sure what that's going to cost. It's not going to be replaced, but it's just going to be repaired. Do we have to bring in someone to actually do that for us?
No, we're going to do that. That shouldn't even come out of the culvert line because it's going to be a repair to a pipe. We're going to end up digging that and actually tacking on a patch, a good patch over the top. So that's not going to come out of the culvert line at all.
Okay.
But we do have a pipe on Gretchen we actually have two pipes on Gretchen that are oversized from this era that I want to look at. But even at 6,000, I think we're probably going to be all right.
Okay.
That is a lot of pipe. It is a lot of work to do in one season, Paulie. You're absolutely correct.
Okay. So why don't we leave that at 6,000 for now? So now back to the infamous gravel. we've got $10,800 that we've spent so far this year in gravel. There'll be nothing coming in for the rest of the year. We had $15,000 budgeted. Is 13 seem like a realistic number for next year?
I think the savings that I had tallied was about $4,000 something in savings because of the purchase we made. So I think we're back up to 15.
Okay.
Yeah, gravel is a known amount. Every year we're supposed to be putting down the same amount of gravel. It's not a weather-dependent thing. It doesn't get blown away by the wind, that type of thing, and not another year. So it's a known amount of gravel. If prices remain relatively stable with gravel, then you can always predict what it is you should be spending. So I think we should keep it at 15.
Okay. And if they ask why it was only 10, then that's where Kelly has the story we got $15,000 worth of gravel, but it only cost 10 or 11.
Right.
So, okay. All right.
Yep.
I'm happy with that. And then asphalt.
I would love to keep asphalt up. That was very, very useful. That got a project done that needed to be done for a lot of years.
Okay.
I've been fighting with asphalt since the day I started here. We're in jeopardy still on a few roads. having that means to make a decision when the decision needs to be made was priceless.
Okay.
Doing a warrant article for asphalt never made really sense to me on small projects. We're going to do a lot of shimming. We didn't do any shimming this year because of the project we did, but next year we're going to have shimming to do. It's going to eat up quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think the difference in this line item is that this is asphalt maintenance versus basically road reconstruction. So a warrant article would probably be the best device for reconstructing a road, and I think Kelly probably got one for the warrant article list. But this is basically your shimming, sand seal or chip seal, crack sealing.
A thin overlay like we did on Aspen, not something we could have got. Warrant articles are difficult because typically when people don't live on that road or travel that road, they have very little interest in fixing that road. Mm-hmm. Gravel is different because most people live on a gravel road or sand, salt, it all affects everyone. I fought for many years to get asphalt done because people don't see it, they don't drive it, they don't know it, they don't care about it. Giving us the capability to make an asphalt decision when it needs to be made, as we saw this year, was very helpful.
Yeah. Okay.
I am going to present a warrant to you people for Chicora Road.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
going to be a complete reclaim and repave. If we could do the same thing and include another road or two other pieces of roads with that warrant and save money through the paving company, that's very helpful.
So we this line we're leaving at 17. We've discussed this one. Are we going to keep it at 17?
Yeah, yep. I think
that's
a good
one. Then we can talk about the warrant article separately?
Okay,
let's keep going.
Okay, all right. So the next line for engineering and consulting, there was a miscellaneous category in our chart of accounts that didn't have a place on the spreadsheet, so I just dumped it in there. That's the $25. But the problem is, like, we ran up against last year, we knew we had to do the tight tank, and we had to get it engineered, and we ended up having to absorb it into a non-engineering category because we didn't have it, we hadn't planned for any engineering services. So do we want to put $5,000 in case there's something that needs to be engineered in order to present a accurate price to the public for a year from now? So for all of 2021, is it potential that there could be a project that does need some engineering in order to get accurate pricing for next year's warrant?
That's something that could be used without having anything to do with a warrant. If we come across a drainage issue or a culvert issue that needs, and we need to get some advice from an engineer,
yep.
I'm sure we can use engineering at any time.
Yeah, and that was sort of the thought. Even though we don't have anything specific allocated for that, you know, without the good old crystal ball, who knows if something's going to occur where engineering would be required. So I put
it's just good to have in the budget.
Yeah.
We can make it $3,500. You don't necessarily know what it's for. I think
you don't get much for $5,000 in engineering.
Right. I think it's fine, personally.
Okay. All right. So dust control. We did spend $5,100, but we received $1,875 back from Rockhouse Mountain. So.
Where's that money that came back? Why isn't that reflected in the actual line?
You can do accounting two ways. You can do net accounting, so we would apply the income that we received to offset the expense right to the line item. What municipalities tend to do is show $5,133 spent, but then on the income side, we do show a separate line item that we got reimbursed for unanticipated income of $1,875.
Yeah. And the only problem, and we should do what I would say we should do what municipalities do, but boy, oh boy. The problem is that years later you go back to look at this and it looks like we just overspent the line.
Yeah.
And it's hard to, like, set the budget because of that. Because, if we're going to do this thing with Rockhouse Mountain again, then we should set $5,000 as the cost, and we should set the income line anticipated as what it is. Yeah. Like, or does it not matter? I don't know.
It's on the bottom of the spreadsheet, though, so I know when we go to discuss it, we can put the net in there and maybe highlight it or put it in a different color for the budget meeting and saying, this is the net cost to the district. There was expenses, because what will happen is if somebody's going through our manifest, they go, wait a minute.
Yeah. But if you got if we got $1,900 back, we're still over budget by 50%. Why are we over budget?
The drought this year and the amount of trucks that we use in Idlewise Drive.
Drought, okay. So it's very dusty this morning. Okay.
Oh,
drought.
Yeah.
Nothing I can do right now.
The
humidity this morning, I think, is like 0%.
Okay, so what should we put in here then? You're saying maybe we should put in 3,000 then, or is the drought over?
Well, the drought is actually getting better, obviously.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. Anybody that drove other town gravel roads this year, other than Idlewise, you would have noticed the dust. And in Idlewise, I will have to say that, one, the roads held up very well because of dust control that holds the road together. Nobody really complained to us about dust this summer, even though we had one of the worst droughts ever. We had an increased amount of truck traffic because of the tank project. And unfortunately, even though dust control was supposed to be the responsibility of the contractor, Kelly ended up doing it. So I do think that we should keep the number or actually raise the number by 1,000, Paula, only because I saw it as a benefit to the district, especially in the time of the drought that we had this summer.
Well, I just want to say I'm just not a complainer because I thought the dust was bad this summer. But I live on the main road, so my car, you couldn't even see out of it. But it was the same way the summer before. And that's just, I don't think that's the road's problem. I think that's just nature. So, but I would raise it to 3,000. To me, that makes sense, or 2,500. I would agree. But I don't know.
All right.
Kelly thing.
I'll give you, can I cut in? The bad news is we have to buy a full tank at a time.
Okay.
And the full tank, I believe, is just under 22. That's why we raised it to 22.
Okay.
I can't get partials. It comes as one,
So it's either 2,200 or 4,400.
Okay, right. Or the 4,400.
Well, do you want to increase 4,400 if that's more realistic? We've decreased most everything else, so if we bump this up a little bit, I think we'll be okay.
Yep.
Yeah, and hopefully, you might be able to share half the load, right, with Rockhouse Mountain, or are we buying a whole load for them?
We did not buy a whole load for them. We bought about a half, so we could definitely cost share with them.
Yeah, and they caught us late in the season. I think we only did one application, whereas next year they might actually want two or three applications.
I think they did. Did we do two for them this year or just one?
Did two.
We did two.
Two? Okay.
All right.
Well, so
before
4,400.
Yeah, and the validation is that it's $2,200 a load, so that's what it's going to have to be.
That makes sense.
Okay. So line painting. Again, Jeff's innovation, he and Tony did line painting for $15, so I'm going to put a whopping $25 in that line item for next year.
I've removed that line entirely. There's no reason to have line painting in the line. That would be maintenance for us. I don't know why back in the day they did that, a $300 line for an outside. We're completely capable of painting white lines.
If we can't put that $15 somewhere else, we got a problem. Yeah, that can just be repairs and maintenance. Yeah.
All right. I'll leave it in there for now.
Keep it at 15. Don't put any more money in. It just, anytime you show, if you're going to have a column that shows increases, it's going to show an increase. Either put it at 15 or zero, but put it at 15.
Done.
I think it's fine.
Done. Okay.
Yeah.
So on subcontract equipment, we only spent $700 this year. Last year, I do remember that number being high, and the big, the largest cost in 2019 was, I believe, Kelly, you rented rollers for doing the asphalt.
Yes.
Okay.
So we won't be doing that again.
Number.
Yeah, I went straight from the 3,000. It's so much per week. I have no control over rain days. We get charged if it rains. I try to pick the perfect week, but we have to keep it until whatever project we're doing is done.
Yeah.
3,000 seems to have covered it.
Okay, and we didn't need that this year, so.
Right, we didn't do any shimming this year, so that's why we come in way under.
Okay, all right. So as long as we can explain that and justify that, we'll keep the 3,000.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So for that whole category, we went from this year's budget of 83,200, expenditures so far of 49,900. So say 50,000, but our number now is 75. We're up by $25,000. So it's five is 10. Yeah, because we're up 5,000 in each of salt and sand. So all three of our all those top four numbers we increased. We decreased over our budget, but we increased over what we actually spent. Okay, all right. So we're going from 83 down to 75.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sounds right.
Okay, and I'll send this out to everybody, and just so we can review our notes, make sure that everybody's on the same page.
Okay, what are we doing next? Are we going to do the rest of the budget?
Before I go, you're not going to need me for that, but I'd like to give you a heads up on the warrant articles that I'd be looking for.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'd like to start, I'll start with the big one, and that would be the reclaim and repave of Chicora. I had it looked at last year. It's beyond shimming. It needs to be reclaimed. I got an estimate from Bryant Paving for $37,100 at that time. I'm sure it will fluctuate. I can get a new estimate when the time comes. That would be my pick for a paving project for this year. I don't think anything, we can't do anything with that hill. It's too steep.
Okay, sorry about that.
There's not much we can do to it, so that would be my number one. I know we talked about putting Idlewise Drive off for another year, which is fine. I think that was because the Oak Ridge project would be paid off, so that would free up some money somehow, but I don't know about that stuff. But I would put that Chicora paving warrant, and I would encumber the funds for Idlewise so that if we needed to do any repairs to it next year, we could. I think that was $5,000 that we didn't use.
Yeah.
And you think Idlewise Drive can go another year without a full paving redo?
Yes. We'll have to do some shimming. And, you know, that'd be the ideal. If we can put it off another year, I would include Appenville Hill with the Idlewise project. It would come out more costly, but we'll be a year later.
Yeah, Kelly, did you get any rough numbers for the Idlewise reclaim, Idlewise Drive?
I had that all. I think it was. I'm gonna get in trouble if I guess, but it was another 30,000 maybe. I'm not sure. I'm totally blacked out on it.
Wasn't the reclaim of Idlewise Drive the full length about $160,000 or $70,000?
Let me look.
I don't think it was.
I one of our PowerPoints from last year. Let me take a quick peek. Yes.
But it doesn't matter if we're not putting in for it, does it?
No, what I'm trying to, what Kelly had alluded to is the fact that the Oak Ridge bond for the reconstruction of Lower Oak Ridge goes away next year.
Right.
And so that was a $245,000 bond.
Right.
So if the Edelweiss Drive reclaim and maybe Appenville Hill is somewhere around that same amount, if you do the two together, Appenville Hill and Edelweiss Drive at maybe $225,000 or $240,000, then basically you're not injecting any new major increase to the taxpayers. You're just continuing a new bond for the reclaiming of those two roads.
Right.
In 2022.
Yes.
Yes.
So what Kelly is proposing this year is the reclaim of Chicora, basically the asphalt sliding down the hill.
Yep.
That's 37. That's about 37 cents on the tax rate.
Yep.
So, Jay,
pretty much a half.
Jay?
Yeah.
Are you in a spot where you can make notes to these warrant articles, the information we're getting from Kelly?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I know if you're in the car or not. I'm updating the budget worksheet, so I'm just making sure you're updating the warrant article worksheet.
Yeah. Kelly, do you have any other warrant articles that you can, even just if it's even just a wish list?
Right in front of me.
Keep going. All right, let's do number two.
Number two.
Keep going.
They finally came out with a new blower-type system for blowing our ditches and our roads off. We've been looking for many years. They've been out of reach money-wise. Coleman Rental purchased the blower. It goes on a skid steer tractor that they have. Towns around me have been using it. Tamworth used it. A couple other towns use it. They work very well. My thought process, and I cleared it with the manufacturer, is that we can get this blower so that it mounts on our backhoe rather than renting the skid steer from Coleman's. We can have it specially mounted for the backhoe, run off the backhoe's hydraulics, and at a far less cost of $6,000. It's $55 for the blower, and then a miscellaneous $500 for attachments and getting it to work with our backhoe. Madison is right now in the process of buying the same blower, but they're getting it with the motor. They're going to put it on skids and put it on Fox. They're pretty impressed with it also. This is something we've needed for a long time. Our backpack blower is for certain ditches and certain pipes. We rent the blower from Coleman's that we put behind the truck that pretty much just blows the surface, does nothing to the ditches. This, I could argue about this all day. It affects our spring cleanup. It affects our fall cleanup. It's very, very useful. I have all the specifics. I have a printout. I can give it to Donna. Maybe she can forward it to you guys, but it's quite a mechanism. But that would be my number two for a $6,000 a blower system. Number three, brush cutting the size of the roads. I had the man come in the spring and give me an estimate. We'd concentrate on the right side section of Edelweiss first because that's the worst. He gave me an estimate of $7,000 to do the majority of it. He said more is better, but this is one I'd like to go high, and if the people want to lower it on the floor, that's fine. I know back before my time there was a $4,000 line item that yearly, that every year we got brush cutting done. We've got none done in the 7 years I've been here. Just could never get the money to do it. We're in bad shape on the brush right now. We can't keep up with it with our little saws. So it'd be up to you how much you want to really, you want to do the whole district, you want to do a piece of it. It's not something you skip around and do a little bit of here, a little bit there. because once they get their tractors in motion, they go road by road.
Okay. Because one of the other things that I put into my list was the brush cutting along the Reinach bridle path, or whatever you call it, the force water main, and also the Riggy Drive. Those are, I guess, about 6 or 7 years since they were last trimmed. And even Chris Albert pointed it out when we were up at the summer tank. I think he even noted it to you, Kelly, that you have to maintain the area over the water mains, which go through the forest. And if you don't and you have a water main break, you're going to spend days just cutting your way into that area before you can actually fix the break.
So how much distance do you think, Jay, on those two water main areas up going up to Jungfrau and the Riggy? How is that, a mile total, a half a mile total?
No, that's probably less than a half a mile for both roads, for both paths.
Combined?
Yeah, combined. Okay. Yeah, I think the Riggy is about 1,200 foot, and then the Reinach is probably just under 1,000.
Okay. So if you're looking at 7,000 for the Edelweiss drive side, and then would you guess another 2,000 for those two locations, another 3,000?
Yeah, that depends because I'll refer to Kelly. Kelly, I guess the bridle path, not the bridle path, the Reinach path and the Riggy Drive path, those would probably just be a skid steer with a brush hog. Is it going to be the same machine that's going to be used to cut the brush on the sides of the roads, or be a little more sophisticated and a little more delicate in doing that?
It'd be a different machine. I think it'd be a whole different outfit because of the steepness. They can't use their tractors on those steep hills.
Okay,
it would
so
be a skid steer with tracks. I would think it'd be a skid steer with tracks, and even that's going to be tough.
Yeah.
When you say Riggy, is that the bridle path?
No, it's actually Riggy Drive. It's an old Class 6 road, but there's a water main under it, and it goes all the way down to the
It goes from Upper Lakeview down, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I have a question, Jason. Jay, you're saying this should be done every year. Should this be part of the water operating budget then?
No. So you have to let the growth come up, and then after about 5 to 7 years, you get enough sapling.
All right.
Yeah, you can just go in with a small bobcat with an attachment on it and basically just cut everything down. It's very ugly looking, but we're talking about going through the forest. We're not going alongside the road where homes are in view of this.
Well, is there somebody that can tell us how much it would be with a phone call?
Yeah, I'll reach out and see if I can contact somebody that has.
Maybe we do one warrant that includes brush and tree cutting and includes, Edelweiss Drive plus, clearing the roads above the water mains. The problem with the water main stuff is the people that are not on the water system are going to object to it. Possibly. I don't know.
Possibly, yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
But anyway, I think we should try and get let's get a number for that one, and then let's just add it to this one and do one more article. Maybe it's 15,000 or 12,000, whatever it is. It seems silly to have two different warrant articles, and that way you can spend the money accordingly, for what you need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if you do that, then you can incorporate tree cutting also. Yeah, there are some trees that got to come down. I'm not saying do everything, but certain trees that are really needed come down. It'd be nice to have the freedom to pick what you do, brush cutting trees, water lines, But that's an argument you'd have to make.
Yeah. Well, I think at the meeting last year, I think we did propose a warrant article for brush cutting, but because it wasn't specific enough, they were going to vote it down.
I don't remember that. I don't remember anything about this ever being discussed.
So, Jay, maybe we proposed it within the commissioners' meeting and decided amongst the three of us not to propose it since it wasn't specific enough.
Right.
I know you had
it
on your list last year.
Yeah, I think we talked about it as commissioners, but it didn't go on to the warrant.
Because you said, rightfully so, that we weren't specific enough or we didn't have an opportunity to become get it specific enough. So if we can, you know, especially if it's, you know, those two paths, if it's down Idle Life Drive and, you know, I'm not sure how detailed they want the tree identification, but.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right, I got one more, and that is a doozy. I still believe we need engineering down on Little Loop Road. That, like I said, it's the last road, and it's too much drainage for me to do personally. I'd feel much more comfortable with engineering. Okay. The actual road may be a project that's too big for us to do. So,
but
every year we go through it.
Yeah. Wasn't getting it surveyed at least one step in the right direction? So at least we would know where our actual boundaries and right of ways are.
That will aid the engineer.
Yeah.
Yeah, but why?
Yeah,
if you're going to do it, you do the whole thing. I mean, to me, like, so.
Yeah.
I think that was the issue. As I recall last year, you guys started talking about surveying this, and then it was like, okay, you're going to survey. Then you got to, but you didn't have money to engineer it, so what was the point of surveying it if you didn't engineer it? And then it's like, say it comes in that it's a $300,000 road. Are we really going to spend $300,000 on Little Loop?
Right.
I think
right.
The idea is you have to sort of think about what the scope of this is eventually going to look like, what the goal is, and
right.
is there, how else do you address
I'm looking
it? Because I...
I'm just looking for engineered drainage. I'm just looking for engineered drainage.
Okay.
Not road
okay.
surface, not
okay.
road depth, not road width. I'm looking for
not
driveways that would require culverts and which way the water needs to go and DES permits.
And Kelly,
yeah.
I think at one point of the conversation, it's work that you could do. We weren't going to be hiring this out to... a contractor. You just wanted to make sure that what we did as a district on that road would be effective and not make more of a problem than we already had.
Correct.
Okay, so it wasn't something that was going to go out to bid that would cost $200,000. It was something that would be done in-house.
No, I just want to take the liability and the blame off the district in case water went in where it shouldn't have gone or, you know, it's more complicated than doing pipe by pipe by pipe. You've got to look at the big picture.
Well, didn't we get a quote from White Mountain Survey of, I think, 12,200, something to that effect?
Right.
And that was, of which 4,000 was the survey, and then the balance was drainage engineering and drainage plans.
That's right. It was the complete package.
Yeah, so you're probably looking at that kind of a cost. 12,200, I believe, was what it was.
Right. So that was to be $12,200 to be spent on putting together a plan. So then the plan would then be going out to contractors or to Kelly, saying, okay,
no.
Kelly, can you do this work and how much would it cost? So to Paula's point, the scope of the work would have to be to do the engineering, surveying, and drainage design, and that may lead to a $300,000 project.
How do you, that's where I'm getting confused by this. Kelly's saying, yeah, I can do it. How do you know you can do it if you don't know what needs to be done?
I don't know. We can do it all, but we can't certify the water's going to go the way it's going to go. I'm not going to start saying this driveway needs a culvert, this road needs a culvert, this needs a ditch. This road's got to shift over 5 feet this way. We got to take so much of this guy. It's more than that. If I had a plan to go by, we could put the plan into action. It's like in the blueprint for a house. I could build a house if I had a blueprint to do it.
Right. That's a very good analogy, actually. Yeah. So.
Well, it'd be you'd almost want to put it out to bid, and we could come in under it. You know, I'm just to get an idea of what it would take, but you know, I need someone to tell me where the pipe needs to go, what level, what you know, the things like that.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
so let me take a look here. I've got this thing from White Mountain Survey right here. A lot of pages of blah, 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 boilerplate, template. So this is just their cost. Okay, so
and I remember on the Forbes article there was some money left.
It was $4,000 for the plan and $9,000 for the design.
Yeah.
So $13,000 plus $750 for a wetland permit.
Yeah.
So $14,000.
Yeah, and we didn't have the money that year to encumber from the previous Warren article, so that's why we had to go fund.
Yeah. So I think we could realistically ask for $15,000 based on this estimate from White Mountain Survey.
Yep.
And that would give us a survey and a drainage plan for the whole road.
Now, you got to remember, we get the survey, now we have to go a whole nother year to get the money to buy the supplies to do the project.
Okay. Right. Okay. Well, you know what? If we can keep the $6,000 in culverts and our gravel budget up, we can just kind of peck away at it. If we don't get a lump sum to do it.
Yeah, we can do it that way.
I'm going to save this here. Save. No, I'll just save a copy of that.
No, I don't.
Okay. So, Kelly, you've got Jacor Review, the leaf blower, brush cutting, and engineering on Little Loop.
Yes.
Perfect.
Now, before we let Kelly go, on Jay, the one that you sent, which I haven't looked at in a lot of detail, is there anything in here that we need Kelly's opinion on?
Let me check.
Just so you know, Jay, before you got on the phone, we took the furnace in the bathroom and we put that into the operating budget.
Okay.
We assume that'll go under buildings and
grounds.
Buildings, whatever, grounds, yeah, both of those.
Yeah, the only thing I put in for, which Kelly might have some comment on, is the replenishment of the equipment repair capital reserve fund. Seeding that with $10,000.
Yeah.
And then the replenishment of the highway equipment, new trucks. This is for when you buy a new truck. And that would be $50,000. Both these Warren articles would have monies extracted from the unassigned fund balance because of the amount of money that we put back into the unassigned fund balance this year of about $100,000. So there's $60,000 right there to build back those funds to where they should be. The other one, just so Kelly and the employees know, there is an existing healthcare trust fund. I think it has $26 or something in it that Donna sent me. And I was hoping that we could seed that with $10,000. Again, that one is to take the $10,000 from the unassigned fund balance of money that was saved in this year's budget. That would enable any employee such as Jeff, I don't want to use names, but an employee who's not on a family plan, if they have to, for some reason, switch to the higher premium plan, we have the money there and it doesn't impact our budget, because it's in a capital reserve fund from which we can extract. I know we talked about the pumping of the septic tanks, and I wanted to also include in that the tight tank, because that's all under hazardous waste pumping. And I know that the pumping of the tight tank, that 5,000-gallon tank, is going to cost around $4,000. And on the septic, I think we have the three or four tanks we're pumping, Kelly, are on the beaches. I think it's three, right?
Four.
Yeah, Thusis. Yeah. Okay, so, and that run about $300 for each one of those. So there's another 12. So $5,600 should be raised for that purpose.
The tight tanks should be under buildings and grounds. If that's something we have to do every year or every couple of years, that should be part of the operating budget, not a Warren article. And then
we think that that tight tank might not get filled up for anywhere between 5 and 10 years. That's why if you raise the money every year, you just sort of, it's not going to be spent. That's why I was thinking.
How much will it cost to pump it?
$4,000.
Why are you putting $8,000 in the thing that you're not going to need for 7 months?
Yeah, the beach septic systems as well. The beach.
The beach ones should come out of. I mean, that was $4,000 once, and it. The question is whether we do it every year, but even if we don't, that just seems like a lot of money to put in there. If we're not going to need it, if you're going to put in like, I'd say fund $2,000 every year or $3,000 every year for 5 years, but to set it up with all this money, that you're not, if that's the total that you're going to need eventually, then you should fund it over time, shouldn't we?
Right. Because here's the thing with a tight tank. It has an alarm on it. The alarm will go off when it tells us it's full in time to be pumped.
How much will it cost?
$4,000.
So we think it's going to be every 5 or 6 years?
Yeah, that's the thing. We don't know what year it will occur, and to have that money available in a capital reserve fund, once that red light goes on, that's the key, as opposed to just taking it somewhere else in the budget, out of either sand or salt.
But it's not going to be this year. It won't be this year of 2020, and probably not even 2021.
So I don't understand why we are putting $8,000 if that's the amount you've got. I'm just looking at your draft, right?
Yeah.
So you're putting it all, but you want to put all the money you're going to need in 1 year versus funding it over the next few years. That's what I would say.
Yeah. So when you say funding over the next few years, where are you funding? What are you putting the money into so that it's there when you need it?
Don't open it for $8,000. Open it for $2,000 or $3,000.
Okay.
And the next year, add another $3,000, and the next year add another $3,000. Like build it up. It doesn't all have to be. It doesn't have to be fully funded in 1 year. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I agree with you. We should do it. It makes sense. I get your point. The only one I would say is the beach ones. I mean, how often we should be doing those, and should those come out of Parks and Rec, or should it come out of? It seems like they should be pumped more often. I think so. That should just go in the budget.
They should almost be pumped every year. Yeah, it used to be every year. That stopped 7 years ago, and then none of the tanks were even full, but they were full of trash. But they never rose to the top, is what I should say.
Why don't we just pump them every year? Then we won't have to worry about it again. It shouldn't cost $4,000 to pump them every year. I mean, it should cost what it costs an average person, or maybe a little more. So if we did it every year, then it would just be part of the Parks and Rec budget.
We did spend, if I go back to that real quick, we did spend pretty much close to the full amount. Was that just on Gina? Cleaning
that's where we
paid the pumping of the tanks from.
Okay, and Gina, both of those.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so that's good.
And then repairs to the raft and any other thing that comes. That's where the Parks and Rec come from.
Okay. All right. Good. All right, so if we want to create that capital reserve but just fund it with a minimal amount and then build it up so that when we actually need it, we have the right amount, that probably
is
good.
I think that's a better idea, Jay.
I think it's a good idea to set up. I didn't realize we needed that. So Makes sense.
Yep.
And if we're going to do the outhouses on a regular basis, and if we've got $5,000 set aside in Parks and Rec, then that should be able to cover the outhouse pumping if it's going to be, you know, $1,000 a year to do it.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the other good thing about that is if it's a particular year where the budget's really tight and you know that the outhouses are not full, you could mm-hmm. wait for the following year mm-hmm. and keep your budget safe that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's a discretionary thing in a way, whereas the tank, once
right.
it's full, you have to pump it.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Okay. So why don't we take
sense.
Out the septic side of it, leave it tight tank, do $2,500, and then over 3 years, we'll have, what, $2,500 after 3 years.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. However much we think we need, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
For 1 year.
Okay. So for Kelly's purposes, that's probably all that's on here that would relate to them. Yeah, so the $10,000 for the equipment repairs. Okay.
My final thought, what I didn't go for this year was the sander for the big truck. I anticipated doing that, but I think aiming to replace that truck is a better idea and getting it outfitted completely at that time. We can push this big sander through another year, maybe 2 years if we had to, just because it's not being used as much because of the new trucks.
Yeah. Kelly, is that the sander that Tony welded up 2 years ago?
Yes.
Okay.
We can keep that thing chugging. I think planning for the purchase of replacing the big truck is a better idea. I think that putting that money aside, like Jay said, is a good start. Maybe even increasing that if possible, so that it's not such a big hit. But we're going to have to do a lot of work to the bed of that truck. We got a lot of rot going on. Nothing that's not going to hold, but we really need to start looking at that truck being replaced. I'd say within 2 years, no more than that.
I'm sorry, which truck is that, Kelly?
It's the big international. The big international. Yeah.
That's what we call it, the big international.
Well, it's the 3400 international. We call it the big truck.
Kelly, what are we looking at price-wise for a four-wheel drive equivalent version of that in today's dollars?
I can't guess at it. I think we were looking, are we up around $200,000, Jay, or something like that?
I think so, because that truck, even in two-wheel drive, was 10 years ago, 163. So you're easily over 200.
Yeah, I think it was $20,000 more to add the four-wheel drive to it. But now in today's money, I'm sure it's more than that.
Yeah.
So probably $22,000, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, so I got $50,000 that right now just proposed for seeding that warrant article, that Crapola Reserve Fund, for that new truck.
Yeah, whatever we can get. If we do that again next year and then make the purchase the next year for $100,000, since we have it right now.
Right. Yeah, it would be nice to be able to seed the Capital Reserve Fund over the next 2 years with $50,000 each. That puts $100,000 in that reserve fund, and then, unfortunately, we still have the bond for the $550,000 that we have now, but. Then you're adding another bond for about the same amount, $100,000 or maybe $108,000, like we just did this year.
Yeah,
so
that,
we'll be
that'd
carrying,
be great.
Yeah, I was hoping that one bond would go away so that frees up that money that we've been paying every year. I'll have to take a look at where our bonds are, which ones will expire soon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, that's my thought.
Okay. Great.
Sounds good.
Hey, Kelly, thank you very much for
helpful.
Your input.
You're welcome.
All right.
Everybody, stay home tomorrow. Stay out of our way. I just got a phone call from Jeff. Jeff got tested yesterday. He's negative, so he will be in tonight for the storm. I've been alone for the last week. It's been kind of nice, but I guess the party's over. He
okay.
he's all set, so he'll be in for the morning hours.
Hey, guys, Kelly probably won't be on the call tomorrow in light of the storm, and we'll be on our call.
Right.
Can we share the news now with Kelly about what we discussed in our non-public last week?
Yeah, we're in public session, so we can do it at any time. That's fine. Yeah. Go ahead, Paula.
Oh, I'll go ahead since I got to write it up, but it wasn't certainly me. Kelly, we went ahead. We're awarding bonuses to everybody this year. So I think it'll be in this next payroll. You'll be getting a bonus of $1,500.
Thank you.
We wanted to let you know that. I didn't write a letter. I don't know if somebody else did. So we just share that with you.
You want to let him know about Jeff and Tony also because he is their boss?
Jeff will be – you can let Jeff know. He'll be getting a bonus of $1,000. And is that right? You guys correct me if I'm wrong, please. And Tony will be – I'm just looking at my notes. I got to find them. Tony will be getting a bonus also this year of $500. And we really want to recognize that you guys really helped a lot the district control, you know, come in below budget. And we noted a lot of these things in the non-public minutes, which are not sealed. So we want to just let you know that we wanted to acknowledge what I think Tony had helped repair some equipment, saving a lot of money. Obviously, the Bergdorf Culvert project and the outhouses, just helping us figure out a way to get those things clean, saved a lot of money for the district. And that was, I said, sort of all these things, but not including all these things. There were other things as well. So we really appreciate all that and wanted to recognize that.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I'll speak for the other two. I'm sure they're going to appreciate it very much. Tony's long overdue. He's been here 6 years and never got a bonus, and I think that that's my fault. I should have brought it up sooner. I feel bad because more often than not, part-time people do receive bonuses. It's always been the standard back in the day. So I'm sure he'll be happy. I appreciate it. It makes doing the right thing a lot easier when we're appreciated. I'm sure you realize that. We cut it close. You had us nervous there for a little bit, but it's far better than the letter we got last year, Paula. I'll take no letter over the letter last year.
Good. Save us.
I appreciate it.
Another letter.
No, you make it easy to do the right thing, and I thank you to the three of you. And we'll dazzle you again next year.
All right.
We got a lot of good things we want to do.
Good.
But thank you, and Merry Christmas to everybody.
All right.
Thank you. Be careful tomorrow.
All right. Thank you very much. All right.
Thank you.
Kathy, are we going to meet after?
Yep. As soon as we're done here, I'll get out of my pajamas and I'll call you.
I'll go in your pajamas.
Go in your pajamas. Just like Walmart.
Exactly.
Thank you, folks. I'll see you later.
All right.
Okay, so do we want to stay on this warrant article page before going back to the budget?
Yeah, that's
sure.
Fine.
That's a good idea.
Okay. Right. So
this is great.
I should let Jay. You go ahead. Start at the top, and we'll work our way down.
All right. So the brush and the tree cutting. So again, we don't know what numbers we're really looking at. I'll reach out and see what I can find. I think Kelly knows somebody that will do the roadside brush cutting with a tractor. So I'll ask him to reach out to that person to get a number.
He already got a number. He told us. He said it was
7,000.
Yeah, I got that. And if he can do the Riggy Drive and the Reinhardt water main area as well, then we'll just put it all together. But at least have those numbers separate in case the audience wants to forego on either one. So I'll do that.
You're going to talk to Kelly and get that number, or you're going to work on that number?
Yeah, I just want to make sure that that's a solid number that we can use for the warrant article. Yeah.
Okay.
And also, Kelly did, like you said in your written thing here, that there were specific trees as well.
Yes. What Kelly didn't bring up today is that if we were to go ahead and mark those trees either with a ribbon or spray paint, that they're to be taken down alongside some of these roads because they're a safety hazard. And then if someone actually, in the interim between the time that they've been marked or actually taken down, hits that tree and becomes injured, then we would have recognized a hazard, identified it with a ribbon or a spray paint, and then lagged on doing anything about it. So that's why Kelly mentioned to me he's not willing to go out and mark trees, because it's identifying and acknowledging that this is a hazard, and then you let it sit there for 6 months,
a year. Yeah, but Jay, I don't buy that argument, Jay. I'm sorry. The hazard could be it's in the way of the plows. We're not saying it's a pedestrian or a motor vehicle hazard, and it's a municipality. We can't spend money unless it's approved by the voters. So whether we identify the hazard or not, I think that's kind of stretching it. I think, you know, and I understand you're always overly cautious, as is Kelly, but the fact that, geez, these are some trees we'd like to take down, so we're going to mark them so we can get a quote, and if somebody hits the tree or slides into it, that's not going to come back on anybody for negligence. I think that's a little bit of a stretch, don't you?
Well, not really. I mean, my brother-in-law was involved in riding through a pothole in Boston in the springtime. The pothole was so big and so deep that both of his tires and rim blew off the front of the car and went in either direction. And the car just scraped to a halt. And he was covered.
But the trees are a different situation. The trees are marked primarily because of plowing. And they're in the way of winging back the snow. They're not a hazard to the motorist. That's not why we're marking them. So I would maybe reword this. Don't say a safety hazard, but some way to indicate, to facilitate plowing. Remove specific trees to improve snow removal or something to that effect.
Or drainage.
And more specifically, safety hazard. Say that you know, in order to improve drainage and snow removal.
I mean, if something's a safety hazard, we should take it down, and we should find a way to fund it.
Well, if the tree's hanging over the road,
immediately. Immediately, that should be taken care of. But if
we got an email from number 18, Little Shore, with a gentleman that's going to speak with Kelly about storing some materials alongside the road. So he did note that the vegetation around the corner from him on Little Shore is impeding the line of sight. So you actually have to take that as legal notice and saying, okay, someone has identified this issue. And so those trees would certainly come down. I know exactly what trees he's talking about. They should certainly come down because they are in the way not only of the plows, but they are – that makes that road narrow right there. But anyhow –
I would change the wording on this just to make sure that we're not identifying the trees as safety hazards. It's to improve snow removal and drainage and future drainage.
Okay, let me just do that right now.
So, it's funny hearing you typing.
Okay. All right, the next one was the asset management, and that $20,000 match would be taken from the unassigned fund balance. So, again, no raising of taxes.
Okay, yeah.
And I got to find out when we're actually going to hear on that, whether we get the award prior to our annual meeting or after, because that will play a big part at the annual meeting. Okay. Then the
if we don't get this grant for some reason, would we still want this money then, or not? Would we remove this one?
I'll go back to 2014, and in 2014 the district actually voted to appropriate $15,000 for asset management, and it was approved. And then the following year, in 2015, the district went after a grant in which they were awarded the grant. So they took the $15,000 that was put aside into a capital reserve and used that to match the grant so that basically we got a total of $30,000.
Did they spend it?
Now, we only spent it was about $14,000.
Who are you paying this money to? I don't understand. Like, who are you paying? Is it you hire somebody to do this mapping? Is that with the money? Like, who are you spending the money with?
Yeah, this $20,000 this time would be spent on a professional consultant that would actually provide us with a product, which would be a CAD system-generated asset management map that we could always go to. Ian could always look at it and see exactly where his pipes and valves and everything are.
Yeah, it's for the water. It's for mapping the water system.
Right.
Right.
It also says, and road infrastructure. You'd also map the road infrastructure?
Yeah, because we also have coordinates as to where all our culverts are and drainage. So while we're actually mapping the water system, I'd say throw the culverts in there as well. Because I think that's...
You can do it together. Okay. I think this makes
sense. We have all the
GPS
locations of everything, yeah.
Okay. Okay. No, this is good. Okay.
Yeah. And then number three, I had the office equipment. And this was, I don't know why I even put this, because we already have a capital reserve fund. Go ahead and spend on new equipment this year. And we had talked about that, so I'm going to scratch that one off. And then you guys already talked about replacing the furnace.
I'm sorry, so we're not going to fund it anymore. You're not going to. How much is in the office equipment? Somebody sent that out, right?
Not much.
$8,000.
Are we going to spend it this year, or are we going? We don't need permission to spend it, right? We already have permission.
Yeah we have the.
We have $7,448 in that account.
So if we want a new computer, we can just get that anytime we need it. Okay.
Yeah.
And we don't
really
need to fund this right now because that's a lot. That's been sitting there for a while, right?
Right.
So Jay, would we have maybe Andrew and Ron come up with a computer? Is that something that, or do you think we could? Actually, I wouldn't be comfortable doing that. Who do you think should help make the decision on what we should do to upgrade the computer?
Well, I know that the administrators are looking for a color computer.
That's a printer.
Yeah.
That's a printer.
And so I think that would be. I mean, those are simple to buy. As far as getting a tower type, the other thing I mentioned to Donna last week, with regards to this COVID-19 and the fact that both Lynn and Donna should have the ability of working from home, is that we just go ahead and buy another laptop for Donna, so that she could go and work from home as well. For example, the tomorrow storm, I don't expect her to be down in the office and then crawling back up the hill. It'd be nice if she could actually work from her home with a new laptop.
Yeah. But I think one laptop makes sense. I don't think you need both people working from home on a snow day.
Yeah. I agree with you.
I think just one person, and that way you're not, because you're limited in what you can do anyway. You have no access to your, your files. I mean, your.
Well, let me ask a question about that. Why can't we network these computers together so they do have access to stuff? Can't we create a local LAN or whatever that's called?
They do. And Andrew did set that up. But say you want to go to the folder and pull the physical file, or get a copy of the physical driveway permit, or dig through the invoices from 2 years ago. That you don't have access to.
No, I got you on that. But they can use QuickBooks from home, right? QuickBooks can be
No.
Right now, QuickBooks
we have,
is not.
Excuse me, I don't mean to. We have one license for QuickBooks. And that is only on the desktop.
You can't license it for your network as opposed to licensing it just for a computer? Oh, okay.
No.
Think you should be. No, you should be able to access that license from anywhere, any computer.
No. That we ran into that issue when we couldn't get into the desktop when Nancy went out. Rhonda tried to download it to the laptop so that we would have access, and we could not because it's only a one licensed signed up for. It's a one license and it's only on the laptop. On the desktop.
Yeah, I'll look into that. That should be accessible from any laptop, as long as we get permission to that laptop. But the other thing was,
you think it would be web-based, that you could log into it from, like, I'm surprised it's not web-based, but I don't know.
It can be. You can pay for that service. There's a cost to that, and most people, and I think, Jay, you were probably on the top of that list, is concerned about our finances being in the cloud. And so we kind of all agreed that we were uncomfortable with it being so available.
Right, but it is being backed up, right?
Oh, yeah, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, but yeah. Is it being backed up to the computer in the office?
We have a external hard drive that gets backed up probably once a week. After every, when I shut it down, it says that, you know, you need to back it up. I do it.
Yeah, but Carbonite is cloud-based storage, so it is going to the cloud.
Yeah, but it's not easily retrievable. The data's there, but not the whole program. So
right.
If QuickBooks is available in the cloud, it's the whole program and all the data versus
right.
just the updated data.
So, right, the copy of our file.
We have shied away from it being web-based, for various reasons, and of course you got to pay for that too. It's not free. But anyhow, so we're taking office equipment off of the warrant article for this year. So let's kind of skip down a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The other thing was so we can talk about the other pieces of the office equipment, but let's just jump down. So you already moved the DPW furnace to the budget.
Yeah, you know, we figured if they vote it down and the furnace failed, we can't buy a furnace. No means no. So it didn't make sense to do that as a warrant article for that reason. And in buildings and grounds, we had – let me scroll up here a little bit. We've got $15,000 in the budget. We had $15,000 last year. We spent $9,500 of it, which the majority was the garage doors. So Kelly didn't see any other major expense that would fall under buildings and grounds, and that $15,000 would pretty easily cover a new heating system. He definitely felt that going the propane route was much better than continuing with the oil-fired furnace.
Okay.
He's going to get an estimate for that, too. He's going to call somebody to get it just to confirm the number. The other thing we said would come out of there, Jay, was, there was another thing, wasn't there?
The bathroom.
The bathroom renovation, which he thought was a couple $1,000s. He's like, yeah, I mean, that's what buildings and maintenance is for, is to do work on your buildings and your maintenance. So hopefully.
And the furniture is something that's an option.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we felt like to get that approved, we should go ahead and do it whenever we can, you know. But we won't do it before the meeting, obviously. So we're going to put it in the budget. But,
And explain that's why it's there. That's why there's $15,000 there, is because these things have to be replaced.
Yeah.
And if somebody says that would be a Warren article, you know, we can go around and around on this. But it's like, you know, the idea is we got to get this done, so.
Yeah, well, with the bathroom, I'll be honest with you, you cannot clean that bathroom. With COVID-19, hey, folks, let's be safe here, all right?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, So we already talked about the tank pumping. We're going to change it to be just the tight tank. We're going to fund it with $2,500 this year and explain that, you know, at the end of 5 to 6 years, we'll probably need $5,000. Or so, to get that tank pumped. So instead of hitting people with it all at once, we just wanted to stagger it in over 3 years, or stage it in over 3 years.
Okay.
All right.
We're building our savings account for that. Yeah, so that makes sense.
Okay.
right. So that would come from taxpayer, raised from taxes. Okay. So we have to put that in the warrant articles when we type them up officially, that I don't know if you can do it all in one warrant article. To create a capital reserve fund is one warrant article, and then to fund it is another, is like the second part of it. But
yeah, I'll look into that, because I looked at some other previous old ones that were created, and I think it said to create and fund with the amount of XXX.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can do it all in one warrant article to create it and fund it?
Right. I'm pretty sure. I'm going to verify that. And then the other one, which I thought I was going to have to do the same thing with, the healthcare trust. Donna shows that we still have that account, even though it only has $26 or so in it. But I felt it'd be nice to at least this year just put that one-time amount in there in case anything should happen and our employees have to change their plans to the higher premium. At least we'll have the money for it.
So, you know, the higher premium.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
Paula. Go ahead, Kathy. I think $10,000 is too much. Yeah,
it is. We're already paying for the two person, and to go from two person to a family is about $5,000 a year. So why don't we do five instead of ten?
Okay, I got it. I changed. Okay.
Okay.
And then the discontinuance of the tank repair capital reserve fund. So there's $61,355.73 in that fund. And I think we've all heard from engineers, and even the state has chimed in and said, you know, forget about relining those tanks. You might as well just go ahead. The cost is now more efficient to actually just replace it. So what do we want to do with that $61,355 if we're not going to be using it for relining tanks?
Can I ask you a question first? You called it two different things. The headline is discontinue the tank repair fund, and then you say to see if the district will vote to discontinue the tank replacement fund. What is it? Is it a repair fund or a replacement fund?
It's called the tank replacement capital reserve fund. And
it's to replace. It is to replace.
It says Edelweiss Water Tank Capital Reserve Fund. That's how it's listed with the trustees. It doesn't say repair or replace. It just says water tank.
So why would we get rid of it? What if we want to replace one of those smaller tanks? Like, wasn't there the one that was, like, from World War II or something? There was some weird thing.
Muddy Beach.
Like, if we want to replace that, or Chicora, why wouldn't we use this money?
Well, Jay, how about this?
Yeah, in the past, we've used this money. Yeah, we've used this money to actually reline the tanks.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Doesn't specify what we can use it for, why don't we use it to replace some of those smaller tanks in the future?
Yeah. No, if that's the assumption that we can actually use it to completely replace a tank, then I'll stay with it.
Well,
I was
Jay,
just looking back.
Jay? So the way that the $295,000 grant was structured, in order to get that full $295,000, we have to spend $1.249 million, right?
Yeah, so we got to take $85,000,
of which $85,000 has to come out of capital reserve.
Right.
So if we end up with a more comprehensive Upper Lakeview PRV pit plan, if there's enough money left in the contingency to start one of the other three projects that were listed, we're going to have to tap into that and come up with $85,000 out of some of the capital reserve funds, which this would be one of them, in order to maximize that grant.
Right.
I think we're going to spend it no matter what.
Okay, yeah. Well,
The way that Rick Skorenka looked at it was, all three of those funds added together was $85,000 at the time, and that was included in the requirements of getting the full grant reimbursed back to us by spending that money on the water system. So I think that moving it or putting it into unassigned fund this year, I think we should just hang on to it and leave it where it is.
All right.
And to Paula's point, Muddy Beach and we had a long conversation with Ian about Chicora, that tank should be replaced as well. It's sticking up out of the ground. It's one of the old steel tanks. So that may be another place to spend some of that money.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, but a good thought to take a look at it anyway.
Yeah, I think just because they've spent it in the past on repairs doesn't mean we have to, if it doesn't specify that. If it's just for tanks, we can do whatever we want with it, and we're going to need more money for tanks. So
yeah, because we do have some very vague capital reserve funds on the water side. We have a pipeline replacement. We have the pipeline replacement at $40,000 sitting there. $61,000 sitting in this tank repair or replacement. Another amount of money sitting in the water system capital reserve fund. And then, of course, there's always a water line extension fund. And basically, they're all used to either repair or replace items within the water system.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it was silly that they are broken up like that. But last year, we tried to combine them, and everything we suggested got shot down. So just leave them as they are.
Yeah, so I do have a question, and that with regards to warrant articles, and the one that was generated a few years ago to take out that loan, which we've been using to upgrade the electrical at the various stations.
Yep.
So
yep.
Where do we stand on that?
Well, we've taken out all that we're going to take out. I was thinking about that too, because we came under on most of those warrant articles.
Right.
But that's not money that goes to unassigned funds. It's just money that we never borrowed. So those warrant articles weren't. Is that what you're alluding to about where we are with the? Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering is, do we have to actually take the full amount that was applied for, even though we're not spending that full amount, or do we just take only what we think we need and only pay interest on that amount, and the rest of the loan just goes away?
Correct. It was a line of credit. It wasn't even a loan. It was a line of credit that we drew against all of last year and this year, paid interest only. Dyna did withdraw the last chunk, which was the invoices we got from the Chicora pump house. And what was the total amount of the value of that? Was that 203 or 212, something like that? Remember?
Yeah.
You were the one that reduced the number at the annual meeting.
Right. I think it went to 203.
Okay. I think we've only borrowed 177, 176.
Yep.
Actually, I have it right here.
And so on that line of credit, how many years will it take for us to pay that off?
That was all calculated into the all right, so Dinah said it was $175,000, 2.75 interest, 12 years, $17,100 a year in payments.
Okay, so it's 12 years, all right.
Yeah.
All right.
So that'll,
can I
that's
ask a question before we
January.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Okay.
But, I have a set
and
question.
That's not sticking January, because we were interest only up until this point. So we only borrowed, and we had that discussion about those two Badger meters. You know, there's another $6,000 or $7,000 in equipment that needs to be received and installed at Summit. And we said, instead of borrowing more money, we'll just pay for it out of the water budget.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
So we're not going to borrow any more money. So we've locked in that $175,000 amount over the next 12 years.
Okay. And now that we're paying both interest and principal, or maybe just principal, do we know what those payments are going to be going forward, and will they be steady from year to year?
Well, all I can tell you is this year, if we look at the budget, I did figure it out based on – so – and that's coming out of the water budget anyway. It's not coming out of the operating budget. That was that was the water loan. So we will be spending $12,485 in principal and $4,700 in interest.
Okay.
This year. And I'm sure it's going to be amortized just like a car loan. Every year the payment's the same. It's just going to shift between how much is principal and how much is interest.
Yeah.
But the payment itself is going to be the same.
wouldn't Dinah be responsible for giving us all those numbers for the budget?
Oh, yeah.
She did mention, what I'm repeating to you is what she told us at the meeting, and then I went through and kind of just figured out what the split was. I just went to a payment calculator and put in the amounts and the interest rate, and it showed me the amortized payments and how much would be principal and how much would be interest. So that's how I did it.
Okay.
All right. And I think as far as warrant articles, there was one, if we go back to last year, as Kelly had mentioned, that $5,000 for patching Idlewise Drive.
Yep.
Do we want to make the motion to encumber that so that we can use it next year if potholes arise?
Yes.
I'll make that motion that we encumber the $5,000. I think it's warrant article number 7 I had from last year.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that we encumber that that those remaining funds for the use in 2021. Do I have a second on the motion?
Yeah, I'll second that.
Okay. Any further discussion?
No.
All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Yep.
All right, I got that one. Okay.
All right.
So, so at the bottom of the spreadsheet, those are our warrant articles. The tight tank.
Did we finish going through Jay's warrant articles? Let's stay on topic. That's okay. Can I ask a question before we go any further? Does anyone know how much we all agreed that the asset management was $20,000. We wanted to take that from unassigned fund balance, and I know we put a lot of money in there this year because of the budget. But do we know how much the unassigned fund balance is? And because at one point there was an issue that it had gone down and it should be higher. It should be like 10% of your annual budget, or there was some number. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah.
Like, do we know what it is, and is it healthy now?
Well, we went from, and it's in the audit, and I think we went from 213 up to 256, Jay. That sound right? 260?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. So we did put money back into the unassigned fund balance last year, even though we were over budget. Because we were over budget on the operating side, but we were under budget on some of the warrant articles, and there were some of the warrant articles that we didn't do. I mean, there was a couple thousand dollars to paint the outside of the Muddy Beach pump house. Yep. We said we're not going to do that. So there was money that went back in, even though we overspent a little on our actual operating budget.
Got it. And then now it's higher than 260 because we put more in this. We're putting more in this year, right?
The money doesn't get
assigned
to that fund. That's what the auditor will do. We don't do that. The auditor will do that.
Fair enough. Okay, but it will go up.
Yeah,
we just don't know how much.
And that was my question too. If you know, we're thinking 100,000. I mean, we may be 80,000 once we get all of our bills and stuff from December and January. And how much of our proposed warrant articles are going to come from the unassigned fund? So if we're putting 80 in and taking 80 out, it's kind of a wash.
Yeah.
Well,
so let me just
my question, because we just said we'd take 20 out. We haven't gotten any others yet, but as we go through here, we will. But how much should be in the unassigned fund balance?
So that's a good question. So the DRA tells municipalities that they should have, and I forget, I think the number is something like 5% of your operating budget should be saved aside in your unassigned fund balance. Now, that's great for a city like Manchester that has a multi-million dollar budget. But for a village district of Idlewise, 5% of $500,000 is not much money. In other words, if we had a tank fail, we would not have enough emergency funds to suffice. So I think previous boards of commissioners had set that rate somewhere, I want to say at 20, and I don't know why the number 23 sticks in my head, but 23% of our operating budget. And right now we're we're over that amount. So that's good. We have more money in the unassigned fund balance or our reserves than we put ourselves to limit ourselves. So that's good. So I'm just going to try to quickly add up the warrant articles that I have. If we do go ahead and use $50,000 to replenish the new truck capital reserve, another $10,000 for equipment or truck repair, so there's $60,000. If we then put 5,000 into the healthcare trust is 65. We put 2,500 into the waste hazardous tight tank, there's 67.5. And that is it. So
the
if
only
we
question
had,
I have you guys is this, is that do we have this cash? Because maybe, and we don't maybe, I don't know when you have to fund these things. So say we go to do this. It's one thing to say you have this unassigned fund balance, but we also don't have the cash on hand to fund all these reserve accounts. So, like, if you're going to fund them, you got to move the money from your from somewhere, right? So if you start spending all this unassigned fund balance, you've got to have the cash to fund them, don't you?
Yeah, and that is in the unassigned fund balance at $260,000.
Right. But we're not sitting on all that cash.
No, no. We don't have access to that cash. It's not sitting in our checking account.
We can't touch it.
Right.
That has to be decided by the voters, right?
Right. Okay.
Right. And so when
if the voters decide it, we don't have it sitting there.
Correct.
So the voters approve it, and what happens,
right,
as you've seen, is that often we don't exercise our right to take that money until the very end of the year. And that's just being safe and cautious that in case anything else happened, you didn't actually pull the trigger on that. For example, the voters can approve a warrant article to raise an appropriate $100,000 to purchase up all the vacant lots in Edelweiss for green space. And it has been done. And then the commission has decided, that's great. They voted in favor of it, but we're not doing it. So the commission has still had the right to turn down an approved expenditure by the voters.
Okay.
So,
and I think back to Jay, back to Paula's question. So what happens is, at the end of the annual meeting, all the information gets put into the DRA's website of which articles got approved, which got voted down, and which got amended. They then take all that information, set our tax rate. So when we get our check in December, it's based on the things that got appropriated at our annual meeting. So that's where the money will come from. When that tax bill gets paid and Madison gives us the check, then the money for the approved warrant articles is in that check.
Right.
Got it. Okay. Got it.
Okay.
Thanks.
I think that was your question. If we say, let's raise $50,000 for the truck, where does that $50,000 come from? So we wait till we get the check in December to fund the capital reserve funds.
Okay. All right. All right, so let's finish. Should we finish going through these warrant articles?
Yeah.
What are we up to? We're up to number.
I think
we talked about
two.
Number eight. Number nine, replenish highway equipment.
Yep.
So number eight we got rid of.
Yep.
Correct. Yep.
Okay. Number nine is replenish highway equipment, new truck CRS. And how much is in this one now, Jay? Do you know offhand?
That's a few hundred dollars.
Nothing. Oh, in the equipment fund, yeah, we $1,700.
Wow.
Is that the one
we spent all last year?
So this is the one he was just saying. Probably in 2 years, hopefully if we can wait 2 years, we're going to need. So if we put 50 in next year, the following year we're going to probably need to spend it, right? Buy that new truck.
There's 50,000 in there, and then we do it again next year, there's another 50, so that's 100, but the cost of a new truck replacement would be over $200,000. So at least we have half the money.
And then we can borrow the other half.
Right.
Well, the question is, when is he going to need to appropriate the money for the new truck? Is it really going to be in 20? It's not going to be 2024. It's going to be 2020 or 2023. It's going to be 2022. Wait, we're funding 2021, right?
Half of it appropriated in 2021, half in 2022.
And you're saying he's not going to buy that truck till 2023? That's not realistic. He's going to have to buy it in 2022.
Well,
if
he can get another year out of it, it helps us in raising, again, more money as opposed to having to borrow it and pay interest on it.
Yeah, I think 50,000. But you're saying to take this out of unassigned, so it doesn't really matter. We're just moving the money to unassigned funds.
Yeah,
from the
yeah, we're not impacting, okay. Exactly. We're not impacting okay. The tax rate with this article, right?
Okay, perfect. I'm good with this. Are you good, Kathy?
Yep.
Okay.
So number 10 is the replenishment of the equipment repair capital reserve, and I think that has just a few hundred dollars in it.
Yeah, that's got $106 in it.
Yeah, you can't even buy a tire with that.
Yeah, so put 10,000, and the logic is we reduce the operating budget and put 10,000 into a reserve fund to be used only for any capital reserve or any major equipment repairs.
Right. And with the two trucks now being under warranty, that should minimize any of our repair costs this year.
Now, using all this money, I'm thrilled from the unassigned fund balance, plus our budget, I'm assuming, I didn't see the total, is going to go down. I mean, this is really going to be a significant reduction this year, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why is it going
yeah.
It should be.
I think, well, the way we've gotten it so far is that the budget that was voted on last year came down to 560, and this year
right.
Our proposal is 568, but we've got loans to pay that were not included last year that we did not have.
You've
right.
got 586, but we've adjusted this since. Are you saying 568 where you're netting out?
Now it's, now it's 568. The changes
okay.
we made today is down to 568.
Okay. So it's really
and
pretty holding versus what was approved. But we came in, we're coming in at 447. So I think we're going to have to pull this all together once we're done with the water
right.
and
but
look
forget,
at it again.
Forget, Paula. So we've got $17,000 to pay against the Reinhardt loan, which wasn't last,
right.
well, what we didn't pay this year. We've got the
got
truck
it.
Loan, which is seven.
Yeah.
No way, is that
okay.
Right? Okay. So we've got the truck loan that we didn't have to pay last year. So there's
yep.
two big payments there that are coming due starting next year. And so,
okay.
Jay, I don't know if you know this, Jay. So Oak Ridge isn't going to be paid off this year, is it? We're going to be making payments all of 2021 for Oak Ridge?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Jungfrau was paid off. So there's zero for that. The grader lease
yep.
is not up. We're still paying the $26,000 a year for the grader.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Oh, no. The grader, I think. Don, are you still there?
Yep.
The grader is paid off, right?
I don't think so.
No.
That was the $29,000. I thought we paid our last one this year.
Let me just.
I don't.
What was
we paid
that?
Off Jungfrau.
Yeah, we paid off Jungfrau and with the you know the water and the operating budget for like $3,766. I know I paid a greater lease this year. Let me just go into
see if it shows the balance somewhere on the payment.
Yeah, also okay. the backhoe and the grader were purchased at the same time.
Okay. Yeah, the backhoe was due lease on the backhoe. We paid cash for the backhoe. And that came out of the unassigned fund, didn't it?
Right.
Where would that be, like, would that show me, Kathy, on QuickBooks?
I don't know how. Do they send you a statement or anything when these payments are due?
Yeah. I'm just trying to remember who... United
it might give you. It might give you on there what the balance is.
Yeah, let me. I'm just trying to think of who I paid recently. United Lease.
I don't know what that 42.
I'll have to pull that. I don't know offhand who I pulled. Who I paid.
Okay.
I can find out. Let's see.
Yeah, because I thought we were paying the last, I believe it was the month of June, we paid the last greater payment of $29,000. And that would be significant. That's almost $30,000
mm-hmm.
that goes away.
I don't think so, Jay. I really don't.
Okay.
But it's good to know. Cause I knew Oak Ridge we still owed another couple of years. Youngfellas paid, and then I don't know. I have that $4,200 over here. I don't know why I have that there.
Yeah, this is where getting a list from someone like Dinah on what your outstanding payments are on bonds or loans,
mm-hmm.
and then when the expiration date of those loans are. And then that way you can plan in your future where to make your next big purchase, because a payment, a very large payment, goes away, and then you can just slip in the new payment, and it really is not an impact to the taxpayers.
Yeah. So anyway, so I put it in there because I believe we still owe a payment for this year of 2021, upcoming year.
Okay. All right, so I'll redo this list of warrant articles.
Okay. And if you could put down maybe on the bottom, total raised by taxes, total raised from unassigned fund.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, what I've been doing right now is updating those. And I'm putting in red letters NT, in other words, no taxes. So you can see that there's no impact on the tax base.
And again, some of those, you didn't have dollar values to them yet, so I know it was difficult to do without any kind of numerical input.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'll do the same thing with this. I'll update, everything, we went through the line item on the spreadsheet. We didn't go through the top portion of it. There's not a lot of change there. And then when you go to the benefit sections are all just a percentage of what the salaries are, both part-time and full-time employees. So those are all just a calculation. Now, Donna, the other thing that – Donna?
Yeah.
Okay. So when we got the check back from Primex on the unemployment insurance, that $5,300 check, what – I think that was 2 or 3 years worth of credit. I think we've had a copy of the actual bill that we owed, but we didn't have to pay it because we had that credit balance. Is there a way to find out because we're going to have to pay it in 2021.
Yeah.
And I don't know, was that $1,200, $1,800, somewhere in that effect from Primex? I don't need to look now, but if you could find that, because they bill us, but then we still had a credit balance with them.
Yeah. Let's see. All right, I'm going through it. I'll pull it for you.
Okay.
And send it out.
Yep. So that just with the prime, it's the unemployment insurance portion of Primex.
Okay, the 2020, the revised, I have an unemployment compensation, the contribution is like 1511.
But we had unemployment. Yeah, there's two. There's workman's comp, and then there's unemployment.
Oh, okay. Here it is for the 2020. The contribution for 2020 is estimated at $5,167. But we had premium holidays. We previously paid that they took it out of. So... but the contribution would have been $5,167.
For 1 year's unemployment insurance?
Yeah, that's what it says.
That's the 2020 premium?
I'll copy it and send it.
Okay, that didn't seem quite right, but...
So you're going to add that back into the budget, Kathy?
Yeah, because we got a check back this year for $5,300, so that's kind of it's unanticipated income So really that number should be a zero for budgeting purposes.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was something like under $2,000 for the actual annual premium. And we had accumulated like $6,000, but then we took the 2020 premium out of the $6,000, and then what was left was $5,300, and we got that back in a check.
Okay, the thing, I got the statement in front of me, it's the unemployment compensation program. The contribution is $1,511, but we had the credit balance of $6,812,
okay.
And we got back the $5,301.
Right. So,
that was unemployment, not workman's comp.
No, unemployment's what I'm looking for, unemployment.
Oh, that's what I first said, the 1511.
1511, okay. That makes sense. That's what's going to cost us in 2020. Well, we'll say
well,
1600.
That was estimated in January of last year, yeah.
Okay. So it was 15 or 115?
$1,511.
So if it's 1600 for this year, we won't know that until the beginning of the year. Okay. So $1,600 for unemployment insurance will cover us for 2021. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't even see a line item for that, Kathy. Where does that go on the budget?
Under employee benefits, it's in red, that unemployment insurance.
Oh, but it's not. There was no budget for it last year.
Right, because we got a credit. We had accumulated...
Yeah.
$6,000.
I understand we got a credit, but wasn't there originally a budget set for it, or did you know you were getting a credit, so you didn't budget for it?
We knew we were getting the check back.
Okay. Did you guys want to go through this, the rest of this, then? Can we go through it, like, just sort of just be clear on what we have line by line?
Sure.
Or not?
Yep. Okay. Employee benefit. Okay. So let's start at the top.
Okay.
And if we want to keep the commissioner salaries the same...
I have to tell you guys, and I'm inclined to do this, but I don't know if you guys want to do it, because if I don't run for commissioner, I would feel comfortable supporting an increase for the commissioners. So I don't know what you guys think about this. I think the commissioners should be paid more, and I think this is it's a lot of work, and we have to incent people to run, and maybe nobody will prove it, you know, but like, I don't know. It seems to me like...
I think my thought is that, number one, you should run for the open seat coming up in the annual meeting and convince somebody else to make the make the approval on the floor to increase the line item.
Right. Yeah, maybe we'll do it that way. I just feel like it should be higher, and it's always an awkward thing. It's like when Congress gives themselves a raise, you know, but they do it.
Oh, they have no problem.
I just want to incent people, guys. I want more people to get involved, and I don't know that this is a deterrent, but I think it could be an incentive. And for people who have recently retired, I think that tends to be the kind of people you get, more likely than people who are working full-time, because it is a lot of work. You know, it's some extra income, and, you know, it can be a lot. These meetings are long, you know, and then there's work you do on top of it. I don't know. It just seems to me it should be $6,000 a year, but $500 a month, you know. It's not a lot of money. But anyway, I maybe we do it on the floor. All right, I'm gonna leave it where it is right now. That's fine.
Okay. So, So under salaries, we've spent combined 38. Let me look at my numbers here. Yeah, we spent 27 out of the 38 that we appropriated, but Lynn didn't come on board till late in the year. So I would said, okay, you know, kind of backtrack a little bit and figure that in. That the same number we had budgeted for last year should be good for us for this coming year.
Okay.
So between the two part-time people, okay? And we still have two payrolls to put into this, which were not in this spended-to-date column. All right, so then bonuses will keep the same. Supplies, keep the same. That's, you know, it fluctuates. We you know, we were low this year.
Well, what are supplies? I mean, the only thing I say, yeah, if you get a color printer, you're going to need a lot more money for print, for ink. So
it's a lot of paper. It's the ink cartridges. It's envelopes. It's stamps. It's, you know, we get supplies in the office, trash bags, cleaning supplies. I mean, that's kind of what comes out of that category.
You probably could bring this down a little bit, to tell you the truth. I'm just looking for, like,
I mean, you want to make it 1,200?
You can show a decrease. Yeah.
1,200, and then we'll make the, I'll figure the exact amount, because it should be prorated 85, 15 between the office and the water. So I'll make a little.
Let's just say 800, yeah.
I'll balance it, so it's 85, 15. So the next one, printing dues and ads, that's our catch-all. So that category, historically, and we just kept doing it the way it's always been done, does include a lot of the QuickBooks processing charges. So we got rid of Paychex, which was processing our payroll, which was expensive, and we're doing it through QuickBooks. But there was a cost to do that, per check, to do the quarterlies, to do the W-2s. So a lot of that stuff is included in that $3,800 year-to-date expense. Also, at the beginning of the year, we had Rhonda help us figure out how to do the automated water billing, and so that people could pay through the QuickBooks with a credit card or the check. That was a couple of $100 of her time. So there was some stuff in there that we might not need this coming year.
So why are you showing such an increase?
So I just stuck a number in there. I mean,
like Rhonda, when Nancy went out, we got a lot of bills from her.
Okay, but why would, if we thought it was really high this year, and yeah, why are we showing an increase versus last year's budget and a big increase over what's been spent?
Right.
You got to justify why you'd increase it you know, that's all. I'm not trying to, like, take money out, but to me it's like, whenever I look at a budget for something like this, I'm like, why did it go up if you're telling me it probably shouldn't, it was really high this year? Like,
did this amount also include paying Catherine DiAo?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so she'll eventually go away, and Rhonda won't be needed because of Nancy's departure. So I think Paul is correct that this number should come down.
Yeah, right. And Libby could... computer service too. Well, that was all in 19, though. That was Libby was in 19. All right, so what?
Yeah.
So
just make it like 4,500. Just make it like 4,500 and 800. Just,
okay.
You just want to show to me, because if you came in low, it's okay, but I think it needs to come down a little.
Okay. So 4,500 on that.
And I think, you know, on the water, if you need to adjust the water accordingly. Travel conference.
Yeah. Okay. No, equipment and maintenance. So let me think about, why was that $2,400? What did we do? Oh, that might have been call centric stuff. We got
that
the
was
new
a charge.
Phone.
The charge I think we got for when we tried to have people pay for their water bills. It was charging us QuickBooks.
No, we put that. Where did we put that, Donna? That was a bank charge. The cost of the 12% that the QuickBooks adds for processing the credit card payment.
Okay. Wait a minute. Let me just get out of here.
It's on one of these budget sheets.
My computer's frozen.
There
we go. Got him.
I thought you just said you put that in printing dues and ads, no?
Yeah, that might have been in there, too.
Yeah.
It was $500 minus whose page one of this.
The question is why is this equipment and maintenance? Why were we so over budget, right? Is that the question? Yeah. Is this for, like, the security system and stuff? It's a lot of money to be over budget.
I think that was our original call-centric phone system.
Oh, okay.
And then we added the Ring doorbell. And the two. Did you submit your bills for the cameras, Jay?
For the cameras? You mean the Ring?
Ring the cameras?
We charged them through the office. Right, we ordered them from the office.
All right. So that was part of it. So there was the doorbell and the two cameras.
Yeah. I mean, the question is, why do you need $2,000 this year? Is there something we're anticipating here? Because we're going to pay for a new computer out of the other budget, right?
Capital reserve, yeah.
Capital reserve. So there's something here we're anticipating. But I don't. Before, it seemed like we thought the budget was only $400 for this. Now, we spent a lot, but do we need a lot next year is really the question.
I don't think so, because we're buying the new equipment through the capital reserve, mm-hmm. and hopefully the maintenance of that equipment will be negligible because it's brand new.
Okay. So you tell me. You want to put it down?
I'd reduce it to 500. Somewhere 750, something like that, yeah.
Okay. So I'll put 800 total, and then we'll separate mm-hmm. it between the two. Okay. 800 total. Okay. All right. Travel and conference, you know, we in the past had gone to some of these seminars that NHMA put on, and we reimbursed for travel, and some of them actually had a cost associated with them. We didn't do that at all in 2020. We just leave the 85 in case somebody does want to go to a seminar this year.
If they ever lift the restrictions.
Okay. Yeah. Let's be optimistic and leave it in. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Be optimistic.
Okay. I found the Raider lease. That's up in 2023.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Donna.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
That's about the same time we'd be buying a new big dump truck. Perfect.
Yeah. Okay. So the audit, was $6,200, Paula, was for the year?
I can't remember. Is that the right number? Yeah.
But then I put in an extra because it did say there may be some, especially the first year they're doing our audit, there could be some additional hours of getting them, you know, communicating with Tamer and getting that information. So I did up it a little bit to
You didn't, though. It's $6,200.
Oh, no, okay. Maybe that was open for discussion. So that was what the contract was. Should we increase it a little bit because of that initial startup cost for getting the new auditor on board?
I'd up it by just 10%. I guess, or 10 or 15%. I'd put a percentage number on it. Like, you know, like we're putting in a 10% buffer or for them to get up to speed or, you know, 15% buffer.
Okay.
But
okay.
I wouldn't put a lot extra in. I think that's part of their assumption. They know they're going to have to get up to speed. So,
yeah. But they were 5,200.
Our thing is not that complicated, you know. Yeah.
But they do have to get the previous, all the notes and the, you know, information from Tame.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll add 10% to that. So telecommunications. I'm trying to think, Jerry, that might have been, was that our on-call system?
Yeah, the on-call, we used to have an answering service too, but that went away.
That was the on-call. That was the on-call. And there was discussion of trying to get back to that at some point and not relying on 911.
Yeah, I mean, we can do that.
I haven't heard or seen any complaints about the 911 system that we set up. Whether people are mentioning it to Kelly or to UJ, I don't know. But I mean, we've had very little emergencies, but it seems to have worked.
Yeah, it does. I think, though, that both Ian and Kelly and Jeff probably get a little nervous when they hear on the other end, "Hi, this is the Sheriff's Department."
They know it's idle wife and somebody's got a tree down in their driveway, you know?
Right. I left
$1,000 in case we decided to go forward with a third party, not 911, to handle our off hours calls, to field the call.
Yeah. I think that's safe to be able to revert back to that, even if the Sheriff's Department does away with the service that they do provide. At least we'll have the budget to do and go into a third-party contract.
And my whole argument was that when I called all of our surrounding towns off hours, not a single one of them had a, you know, custom on-call
right.
answering service. It all was
right.
the office is closed. If you have an emergency, call 911. They all do
yep.
it. So I don't feel bad doing it. Maybe our callers call more frequently, but everybody uses that same system. So we'll leave the $1,000 in there for that. Safety, based on the list of infractions from Department of Labor, I thought we'd have to spend, you know, $1,500-$1,600 to purchase the things to get us in compliance. And Kelly was able to do most of them just, you know, MacGyver-like. And I think that there may be some cost that went into the trucks, like the backup alarms and stuff that should have gone into the safety category and didn't. But we certainly can reduce that amount this year substantially. I don't think there's really a lot of anything that would fall under the safety umbrella. I put $1,650 in. We can maybe reduce that, maybe $400 and $100.
Yeah, why did we only spend $113 this year?
Well, I think that Kelly was able to just fix things without spending money. And I know we bought eyewash stations. I'm not sure why they're not in there. Those two eyewash stations should be in there.
Maybe. Oh, okay.
They may have gotten put up into one of those upper categories by, you know, inadvertently.
Buildings
we had to buy eyewash
ground.
Stations and some tags and labels and some locks and some chain. And,
okay. I mean, if you can reduce it, you feel comfortable reducing it, I'd reduce it. If you feel like we need it, leave it there. I mean,
okay. I'll put $400 and $100, so it'll be, you know, a $500 total. Okay. Legal expense, I just put $7,200 total. We had an exorbitant amount of legal expenses this year, which will not occur, hopefully, in 2021. One thing
I
that
have
Chris
a question.
Bolden
Why
mentioned,
did we attribute so much of that to the water budget? I mean, wasn't a lot of this? Sorry, go ahead.
There was a lot of work done to acquire municipal financing, and that was all that attorney. That was Drummond and
Got
Woodward.
It. Okay.
And
I thought this was all for that other guy for all the other issues we dealt with. Okay.
No, that was the 8,458 column. So the total that we spent, you know, we spent what $15,000 almost in legal fees, $1,574. I'm looking at maybe only spending. We probably shouldn't spend much more than $6,000 this year.
Okay. You've got a lot. Okay. It's funny
because
you've increased the water, but you've decreased the operations and highway versus last year's budget.
Right.
I'm inclined. I would leave the water budget at $6,450, the same as last year's budget.
For legal expense, $7,450.
Can I just interrupt for a minute?
Sure.
On the legal, they were always split where they maybe should not have been for the other legal expense that we're going through.
Okay.
I'm looking in the QuickBooks.
So when they came to our annual meeting, for instance, that cost, we would split it 85-15.
I think
that some of the other issues were probably not.
June 10th through now, we've always split the thing. So I'd have to go back and change that. So that would probably be 15% more towards the operating.
I leave the operating budget at $6,450 for next year, personally. Yeah, I wouldn't
Do you want to up it to $6,450?
No, keep it. You
had lowered it. I would raise it back up to $6,450, and I would, if you're going to keep that one the same, then I'd keep the water budget one the same at $750.
Okay.
I think it's weird that one's going up and one's going down for no reason. You know, that's.
Well, no, the one that's going down is because we're not applying for a municipal bond. That almost cost us, what, $10,000? Well, that was $7,000, right?
Yeah.
But say, you should have some money in for water. Like, say somebody comes in and has a question about their water hookup fee or something, you know, and we have to call the lawyer. You got to have something in there, right?
Well, think about this. If we're going to put liens on the properties that owe us back water fees, that costs money.
Yeah.
Okay. And one thing to maybe consider is one of the conversations was with the attorney was that some small towns put them on a retainer. So say we negotiate a $5,000 a year retainer, and whether we use it all or a little over or a little under, it's $5,000 for budgeting purposes. So
I always think, like, what's the point? Because it's like you're going to spend what
we
you're going to spend.
We spend a lot more on legal than we should. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So 64, So $6,450 for legal on the operating side and $750 on the water side.
Yeah. I think this was a strange year. I mean, one, you had the – I don't know why you guys didn't budget for the legal on the water last year, though, because there was a whole discussion about why you don't take it out of the bond, and you didn't want to take it out of the bond because – then you wouldn't be able to get the matching funds. But you should have put it in the budget somewhere. That's what I don't understand.
Well, I think
even at the time,
I think the budget got approved prior to us realizing that acquiring municipal bond was going to cost $7,000 to $10,000.
Oh, okay, got it. Okay,
I don't think we knew that at the time. We did not know that at the time. And I'm guessing all the paperwork that got done, and Jay, you might have some insight on this, all the work that got done to secure that municipal financing, a lot of that was when were you incorporated, what is your, you know, our structure, all that background information about the town of Madison. Now that they have all that, if we go to apply a second time for that, it should be nowhere near that kind of cost. They already have all that you know, legal background information on the district.
Yeah.
The other question I could argue was that because the bond was coming out of the operate was being paid by the taxpayers, not by the water system users, that the legal costs associated with obtaining that bond should also have been paid by the taxpayers. Should have come out of the operating budget, not out of the water budget.
Correct.
All these legal costs should come out of the operating budget, folks. All of them.
Yeah.
Well,
I wonder if you should go back and reallocate this. Because
I think nobody ever said all the costs. They said paying back the loan should be distributed over the property tax, with property tax, not a water fee. That was the loan.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, this is a separate cost of acquiring the loan.
Yeah, but
it's not
still,
the loan itself.
Logically, that doesn't, I don't know.
That's wonky. If Paul is right. That loan was a tax-based loan, not a water fee loan. So it should probably
the water
to the taxes.
I don't know. Anyway,
and I think we all knew we were probably going to have excess funds in the water budget, and so that was the decision to apply it to the water budget.
All right.
Okay. I know what you're saying, but I think I would leave it on the water side.
Okay.
All right. So employee benefits, all these are strictly either a bill from Primex, which we looked at workman's comp, the unemployment insurance. Our work enhanced retirement went from 11% of our salary to 14% of our salary. So 14% of our salary comes to that $17,327. And that's on just Kelly and Jeff, because it's only for full-time people. And then at 6.5% for Social Security, and then the medical insurance is going to go up by that $5,000 to pay that family plan. And that does include $6,000.
So by the time of the year, are we going to be, at the end of the year, are we going to have spent the $34,000?
Nope. Because Kelly.
Why not?
Kelly, well, we put in money for reimbursement of the deductibles, which Jeff did not submit anything for that.
Okay.
So that was part of it that they and Kelly did his deductible, and it may not be reflected in this.
I just feel like they had it a little last year, and instead this is a hard cost. Like, we know exactly what this is going to cost, And I think when I went back later, I'm like, you guys over budgeted last year because you had extra money in here that you didn't need. It was more than what the premiums were. So I just want to make sure that the budget is the actual number.
Let me find my worksheet.
Okay, Paula,
the two person plan for Jeff was 1190.27 times 12 months, 14,283. The family plan is 1606.86 times 12, 19,282. So those two together came to 33,565 plus.
Okay.
Now we're going to do we're paying $3,000, right, there's a potential of $6,000 in deductible.
Okay. So
$1,500 for Kelly, his spouse, Jeff, and his spouse. You add $6,000 to that, you come to $39,565.
All right.
So that's to the penny. That's to the penny.
Perfect. Okay.
Okay. All right. So
this year's number seems low. Maybe we just haven't gotten all the bills yet. And I know about the deductible is only one piece of it, but still.
Right. Well, it was $4,500 of it.
Yeah.
Because we budgeted $6,000, and Jeff put in nothing, and Kelly only put in half of his. So that's $4,500 right there.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
But
I just did
the check for Kelly, and he's getting a check for $400 and something for the deductible.
Oh, okay. I thought he said he had all $1,500 of it spent.
No.
Oh, okay. All right. I took the bills
that he gave me and then halved it.
Because
I thought we were only paid their full deductible?
We pay up to $1,500, which is half of the $3,000.
Okay. All right. So wait a minute. I just paid. I'll do another check for him. I didn't print them out yet, but
for each person, he can put in up to $1,500, and you pay the full piece. You pay as much as he has, up to $1,500.
Yep. Okay. So his totals came to $887.25. So I pay the $887.25.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
That's a good thing you caught that.
Oh, all right. I thought you only paid them half of their deductible of the $3,000.
Well, that's what Kelly kept saying, but that's not how we voted on it, and that's not how we set it up last year or this year.
Okay.
Okay, it's half of the $3,000 up to $1,500, which is up to $1,500.
Okay.
All right.
I'm confused, but you can explain it to me at another time.
Okay. All right.
Not hard.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. So that's that. And then we talked about buildings and grounds. $15,000. We spent $9,500. Most of that, Jay, we reviewed this earlier, was for the overhead garage doors. If we can keep the $15,000 in, that would be good.
I'm sorry. Kathy, why is the New Hampshire retirement? Is it just going up next year, or is it a higher year?
We talked about this. It went from 11% to 14%.
Oh, okay. I just didn't know. It seemed like a big increase next year. Okay.
It is.
Okay.
It is.
Okay.
It's like
a
25% increase.
So all of the employee benefits are fixed, pretty fixed, are fixed.
Right. There's no legal room there at all.
Gotcha. Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't see that one.
Okay.
Buildings and ground.
All right. So we talked about the $15,000. Jay, at the very beginning, that. So we can skip that. Heating. We brought it down a little bit. You know, the if we're going to change the system, maybe the propane is going to be cheaper than oil. We're not sure, but that's kind of, you know, prices of oil fluctuate. So $7,500. I don't know if you want to lower it a little bit, but that's kind of what we settled on.
Yeah, I brought it down. My number that I chose for that was $6,000, because I put in, so $2,500 for heating that big garage down there. You probably save $2,500 going over from oil to the propane. That building obviously leaks like a sieve. And
we don't know when we're going to do that, though, Jay. We might not be able to do that until the spring.
Right, yeah, you're not going to change the furnace in the wintertime because you're going to be down a couple of days.
So hopefully by this fall,
Was my original number 85? Because I've changed it on my sheet. I don't know what my original number was. Was it 85?
85,
you
No, you had 7,500 plus 1,200, so you had a total of 87. What did you lower it to? According to my notes, you lowered it to...
I didn't know if I lowered it from 85 or I had started with 75.
Of course, I didn't get that level of detail in my notes. Okay.
Yeah, the from the operating budget, you went from 85 to 75. From the water budget, you went from 1,500 to 1,200.
Okay. All right. But I didn't change it as of today. I didn't change it via any discussion from today. What I presented to you was 75. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're going to keep it at 75, 1,200.
Yes, because we still have another bill or two to come in. So, yeah, I would say so.
Okay. Leave it.
And then electricity will probably be 2,500 and 1,500.
Yeah, on that one, on electricity, so let's just go over the design of the new tank and the new pump station, the pressure zone.
Mm.
So in the new pressure zone building, we're going to have electric heat and a dehumidifier. So there'll be constant use of electricity for 12 months out of the year, unlike some of the other pump stations that just have the heat for the winter.
Mm-hmm.
We know we talked about removing the dehumidifier from Muddy Beach, but the only way to achieve that successfully would be to pour a concrete floor. That's where the moisture is coming from. But this new design of this new Reinach pressure zone building by the new tank actually has a dehumidifier installed as well as a heater.
Okay.
So I'm thinking that the electrical costs will go up there.
Well, we don't know. Well, maybe, but if there's a concrete floor in there and it's not going to be running 24/7. I mean, if the concrete floor is there, that'll help minimize the humidity in there. And it's an electric heat and not propane heat, which propane is what's putting the moisture in the air to begin with.
Right. Yeah, I'm not sure. There is a concrete floor, obviously, in that building. I'm not sure why we actually have a dehumidifier in there. And the building is actually sealed inside with a plastic wallboard, not like a sheetrock. So there's very minimal amount of infiltration of humidity that could get in even from the outside.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got enough, I think, you know, the thing is, it's funny how when we get our electric bills, it's very difficult to pick everything apart and look at each bill and prorate it from whether it's a pump house or the DPW or the garage or the lighting. So the total number of electricity is correct, because that's what we pay Eversource. But dividing it up and prorating it, is a little bit of a challenge. I can attest to that for sure. Because we had two services on DPW1, and Eversource says, no, you can't do that. We want one service, and we're going to send you one bill for that building. That's it. You guys on the inside can figure out if you want to split it or not. But so it's kind of, some of it's just a mathematical equation as far as how much goes into water and how much goes into operating budget. I think these are pretty close. I think we were under-billing the water system to begin with because of all the stuff coming through DPW-1, which is why it's a little bit higher.
Okay.
So I think if we leave 1,500 in for water, I might actually make that like 1,800. I'm going to make that 1,800. Okay, the 1,500 for the water, I'm going to make that 1,800, and then we'll leave the 2,500 for the buildings and grounds.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. All right. All right. And telephone, we budgeted high because of what the old phone system was costing. So we know now that our call centric is going to be saving us a little bit of money. So we went with $350 and $60.
Okay, now so I know we upped the plan as far as the number of minutes that we use. So is that reflected here, Kathy?
I don't think there was any cost to that, was there, Donna?
It was,
I think,
No, there was no cost to that. Yeah.
Okay. I think we're,
That's right. Okay.
So, so engineering down here, the same logic about the other engineering. If something comes up and we need engineering, we'll have some money.
Okay.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah. So, all right. So that's that then. So here, this was just a guess, Jay and Paula, on our property and liability insurance. We budgeted 37.4 and it came in at 38.4. So we were off by $1,000. So I'm guessing that we'll probably go up another $1,000 this year in 2021.
Yep.
And then we do divide that out, 85 district and 15% water. So actually, it was 44,000, and it was let me look at this again. Let me look at my column heading. Sorry, budget. Okay. So we budgeted 44, and the bill actually came in at 45,105.
That's fine.
Okay, so that's just
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. And then the 850 and the 150, that's our deductible. We have a $1,000 deductible. So if we do make a claim, we've got to come up with a $1,000 deductible.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And then the fun part here. So Oak Ridge, the bond payment is going to be the same, $35.45. The Jungfrau's paid for, the zero in that column. The greater lease is $25,977. That's what it was last year. It'll be really close this year, within $100. So I didn't know any other number to put in there other than that. The truck payment, the new truck, which will be, Dinah said it at the meeting.
Can we put what year truck this is, like labeled this as the 2020 truck? Is it a 2020 you bought?
It's a 2019 truck for the new truck and a 2018 for the other one, the Dodge Ram 550.
The other one was paid for with the insurance money. So this is the truck. This is a 2019.
But we bought it in 2020, right?
Yeah, that's the truck we just got last week.
Maybe we call it the 2020 truck or something, or that, you know.
Well,
people will be confused otherwise. Yeah, but the other truck we bought in 2019.
But that wasn't a 2019. It was a 2018?
Yeah.
The truck is a 2018, but we bought it in 2019. And this is for the 2019 truck that we bought in 2020. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just afraid if you call it the 2019 truck, people are going to think it's the truck we bought in 2019. That's all. That might be a little confusing. Whatever.
Right. So this is the 2019 truck, which is our newest truck. So our payment is going to be, I put something in the wrong spot here. Here's my calculations here. Truck. Okay. I
would just label it something like 2020 WA, which means 2020 warrant article. If you call it 2019, this truck had nothing to do with 2019. And people will look back on this and be confused by it if you call it 2019.
Okay.
Because they'll think it was the truck that was approved in 2019. That's all. That's what I think is going to happen.
But there was no truck approved in 19. That was we paid for that with the insurance money from the truck that burnt.
Oh, we didn't put a warrant article in for that?
Correct.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe you're fine. Okay. I think it's confusing, but
just me. I'll put truck 2019 because it's a 2019. Okay. So the principal and interest together, according to Dinah, was going to be $11,500 a year. So I just put in one of those little silly calculators and figured it was about $7,300 in principal. And if you look down under the truck, under interest, truck.
Yeah.
I had $4,200 in there, and I think I either deleted it or it got moved. So that should be $4,200 if it's not on your sheet.
Why is it underwater?
Yeah, it's over on water.
It should be over on the other side. So if you look
under
at
interest.
Yes. Okay. I put it in the wrong column.
All right.
I just saw
okay,
that.
So you're moving it. Okay.
Okay, so I'm
moving
it.
That doesn't water. Board. Okay.
Correct. So the four, so the 7,300 under truck principal plus the 4,200 under truck interest adds up to the 11,000 whatever that Dinah gave me for a total payment. She didn't break it down. I just kind of did the math on it in one of those little calculators. All right. So the next thing, so the Reinhardt tank, where's my notes on that? Okay. So on the Reinhardt tank, we got that page of that amortization schedule from the municipal bank, and we're making a payment of $16,147 interest only, and then we're making a second payment, which is $15,882 of interest and $44,600 in principal. So adding that up, we owe the bank this year $76,629. Okay? Now, I'm under the belief, and I know we've never gotten absolute clarification, but I believe we should deduct $59,142 that was raised at the 2018 annual meeting.
And where are you deducting that from?
So that the work, the sheet that we got from the municipal bank that shows what our payment schedule is going to be.
Right.
Right? We got to pay out to them this year $76,629.
Okay.
And if you subtract $59,142, which has already been raised and not spent for this water tank, what we'll technically net owe them is $17,487.
Correct. So that $59,600 actually still resides under the warrant article to be spent on the tank, so we can do that.
Yeah, okay. So if you look at what I put in here, so I took what we're going to have to owe on top of what we've already collected and saved, that $17,487 breaks down to $10,143 in principal and $7,345 in interest.
Got it. Okay.
So why is that 2021? Wouldn't that be for this year?
Well, 2020. I'm sorry. No, 2021. Yeah. We've paid nothing this year. We paid zero on that loan this year.
Oh, you're saying that 70, whatever that 70-some thousand is due next year. It's not due this year.
Right. That's our 2021 payments to the bank.
Right.
Okay.
And so that's what we're going to owe, but we've already raised basically almost 60,000. Well, just about 60,000 of it we've already raised. That's already set aside in a, what was it called? There was something listed in the audit of
right.
capital raised or something to that effect.
Yeah, and it stays with the warrant article for a minimum of, I believe, legally 3 or 4 years.
Right.
Until that invoice comes due, and then you can use that money to pay for that. So this brings up a question which was raised a few months ago by David Maudsley and Mark Grapham. If the mm-hmm. voters approve the payment, first year's payment of only $59,600, then how come we'll be paying $76,000 and some odd change? You know, that mm-hmm. that was their question. And mm-hmm. I remember going back, we knew we were going to pay more than $59,600.
Right.
When we did those final calculations prior to the annual meeting, but there was some legal authority which allowed us to spend more than the $59,600. I just can't find my answer to that.
I think the commissioners have the authority to secure financing at their discretion.
Yeah, and that's in the wording of the warrant article. But it also stated in the very same wording that the first year's payment would be the $59,600. But we do have the authority to negotiate, and we did, a higher amount with lower years of payment, a different set of terms. So I don't know how legally that plays out. All I'm saying is that let's just try and be ready for that, either at the budget hearing or the annual meeting, because I'm sure that will be raised.
Yeah, and we talked about it at multiple meetings last year, so I don't think it's a surprise to anybody.
Right.
Okay.
And actually, well, thanks for calculating all that. It looks like a lot of work just to figure this all out.
No, it wasn't, but I like doing that. So, just for clarification, so what happened was they proposed a warrant article and changed the amount of the warrant article, the total, and the amount raised. And that's when they came up with $59,142, and they actually made a mistake. It should have been $66,000 and some odd, because they made a mistake doing that calculation. So there's no way you could have come up with a payment of $59,142, but that's what the voters approved based on that warrant article. To add another...
Well, I guess the guy, it also goes back to, so what do you do? How would you correct this now? I mean, the point is the bond's been secured. We have this obligation. And so it was done. That's how it was done. It has to be cured by somebody. And whether you have to get some permission from somebody or you're already legally entitled to cure it, you know. So as long as we understand what happened and what the law is, I think we're good.
Yeah.
So...
And technically, too, that says that, you know, the first year's payment. Well, the first year, I guess, was this year, and there was no payment. And so this was kind of, this is the second year, but the first year is the payment.
Right.
So we have to raise $17,927 this year to make that payment using what was already raised. Now, next year, the total payment's going to have to be the $76,629. You're going to have to incorporate an additional $60,000 into the budget to make those payments.
So next year the budget will go up significantly on that those line items for this bond.
I think that'd be
worth pointing out to people. Yeah.
It's going to go up $60,000 to make that payment on Reinhardt. Okay.
Gotcha.
All right. That's that. And so I think, and that's it. Oh, and then we went down. Well, let me. I take that back. So then, Regional Association, that's our membership to NHMA, and I believe it's also our membership to what's called the Winnipesaukee Drug Consortium, which is a group that pools together DPW employees for drug testing. So we're a member of that group. The checklist is for the folks that attend our annual meeting and count the ballots and count the votes. So we pay them to do that.
So that's like the cost of the election.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So our
and
budget
we've
for,
already done,
yeah. We did this already, didn't we? Salaries, Jay. Were you here when we did this?
No.
Okay. So we budgeted $98,000. We're probably going to spend $97,000. I think we've got two payrolls that need to be added into this. So we're going to be very close to the $98,000, and we owe Kelly a raise or a review in January.
Okay.
Bonus, I left the same. Part-time staff, the same. On-call, $3,000. And overtime, the same.
Okay.
And then we did go over in detail equipment and maintenance. And Donna, maybe you and I can look at that repair, maintenance, and supplies account. And maybe pull apart, look at some of those invoices and see if maybe some of that should be down in the tools and equipment line item.
Yeah.
It's a pain in the neck. There's going to be a lot of invoices, but I think, you know, Albany service we know is going to be the truck, so we can bypass all the Albany service and just kind of maybe look at the Lowe's and the some of the other smaller ones that are in there. But, but Kelly seemed happy with the total for the total budget. We moved it down from 66 down to 49.
I just have a quick question for Donna. Donna, did we get all the invoices or bills in from Albany Service for putting that new truck together?
No.
Okay.
And then we went through in pretty good detail, I think, the rest of everything on here. Now, asset management, I threw $2,000 in there.
Yep.
Down below parks and recreation. So.
Now, my only question on that is if we haven't, we're already raising $20,000 from, well, actually, we're not taxing, but we're why do we need another $2,000 here for asset management? What would this be for?
Well, I just stuck it in there for asset management because that's asset management for water system. Maybe there's something we want to do with the roads.
Yeah. So if the grant fails, we still are showing an effort that we still need to do some things in regards to asset management. For example, there's a lot of those index cards that are still laying around that would need to be, for example, that big book that Donna has in her office showing where all the crypt stuff valves, all that needs to be scanned in and digitized so that we have it electronically. Because I hate to see the day that
wouldn't that be water? Wouldn't that be water?
Asset management
here
could
it's
be
under
either.
Road.
Well, do we want? We can put. Well, split it 1,000 and 1,000.
Yeah, 1,000 and 1,000. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So that's easy. All right.
Okay. That's all. I just want to make sure it's in the right column. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So,
okay. That's great.
Now the rest of this, all the water stuff on the right side in blue. I just copied over this year's numbers. I didn't have any insight. I think electricity is going to be the same. Testing is the same. Repairs. We came in low, but 50. We've been higher than 50 in the past on repairs. If there's any upgrades or maintenance to any of the pump houses or the chem room. I know we were hoping to do some safety things in the chem room, Jay. Remember we wanted to put a eyewash workbench in there. We wanted to raise that chemical tank up out of that concrete pit. So
yeah, and a sink.
Yep, and a sink. Yep. Water treatment's a contracted price. Now, remember we had this discussion a couple weeks ago about why we only spent $2,700 and we had the contract for this year versus last year?
Right, and it's because of the bulk delivery of those chemicals. 1 year's high, the next year's low.
No, wait a minute. I take that back. Which was the one that had all the different testing, the water testing stuff? Was that
that's the testing, yeah.
Okay, because the big difference was we stopped doing the weekly beach testing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that was included in this. I think that was under Parks and Rec for the beaches. Because this is a water system and would go against the water user.
Maybe that's why we were looking at two different numbers, what we spent 1 year versus another year, because one year we had spent all the, $2,500 or almost $3,000 to do beach water testing?
Yep.
Under that contract.
But we didn't do that this year.
Correct. But we had budgeted for it because it was on the warrant article, so we didn't know if it was going to be needed to be done or not. All right.
But didn't we just get a contract renewal and the number is actually almost $8,000? So I thought we should put this up to $8,000.
But was it really going to be $8,000? I thought the idea was that the costs were she said the costs hadn't gone up when you read the letter. So maybe it was
the fees aren't going up. It's just the different testing that they have to do. Some are yearly, some are quarterly, and some are a 3-year, like the lead copper is a 3-year test. So it's just depending on what.
They're anticipating
it. Yeah.
But we just had lead copper, didn't we? Like, are those.
Yeah, so that won't be part of. Yeah, that won't be part of our fee for next year. You know, the next fee will be in 2023 for the lead copper.
Okay. So can they anticipate what our fees are going to be next year? Are they going to be lower then or higher?
It's the same fee for every test. We have to select what tests we want done.
We don't select them. They select them, Kathy.
Oh, okay.
They go by DES regulations.
So is the cost she gave us what she's anticipating we need next year? Or is that just the cost for everything if you did everything?
That would be a cost for everything.
Where is that paper now? I sent you in the email the Granite State, the list of them. Whatever last came, that's what anticipated that we would be spending this next year. Those are the tests that needed to be done.
Okay, so,
so
that was
close to $8,000.
So
we need to go through and add all those up? How much?
No, it's at the bottom of the sheet. Wait a minute. Yeah. Let me go. I was in the middle of doing something.
That was like $7,900.
Yeah, it was, but it seemed way higher than we were.
Whoops.
Right, so this year we may actually be performing more tests than we did last year. That's, I think, the reason.
Well, there's that PFAS testing. So this is a 2019 contract.
Okay, I sent you the 2021 back on Friday, December 4th.
Okay, December 4th, let me look at it.
Yeah.
On December 4th, okay.
December 4th, yeah. It's $7,962 for next year.
Yeah, that's what we should budget for, absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
Hang on, December, let me look at it again real quick. Yeah.
And we may, when I spoke to the person over at Granite State, they will let us know, but the PFAS testing, because it was optional and we did do it last quarter, we could be eligible for the waiver because the next one will be done in the first quarter of next year, and we won't have to do the other two quarters. But they will notify us if we're eligible for the waiver when I spoke to them.
Okay, so it might come down from that $7,962 fee. Okay.
Yeah.
So you think we should up it to $7,900 just in case?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now, the one above it, electricity, we could probably, only because I was getting tired at this point, that's why I didn't think about these the other night. So 22, so 20, if we've got one more bill, so 22,460. Let me see. 22,460 divided by 11 times 12, we're at 24.5. Maybe make that one 25,000. All right. I'll change that to 25.
Well, yeah, be careful though, Kathy. I think we might actually have to raise this just a little bit, and the reason being is because we're adding a brand new building to our water system, which is going to require electric heat, which it's an add. Simple as that.
We have
The building.
Yeah, but isn't the other building going away? The other building had electric, though, right?
Yeah, but that was underground storage, so it's hard to say whether that required less electricity than this one that's above ground.
Okay.
We're just going to have to really monitor it, but let's be conservative here so that we don't go over the budget on this particular line item this year.
So you want to make it 26,000?
27.5, like split the difference or something.
Yeah. 27.5. Okay.
Yeah, the unfortunate part about the water budget is we collected on May 1st, and we really don't know what our true costs are with some of these new implementations until the end of the year.
Yeah, okay. So 27.5 for the electricity. Testing, we know, 7,900. We're going to leave 50,000 for our repairs. Water treatment. Now, so that's 27. Water treatment.
Yeah,
that's basically just for the minerals that we get added into the system.
Yeah, keep it at 5 because this goes up and down every 2 years. 1 year is low, the next year is high.
Okay, all right. Engineering, we can probably take some out of that.
Yeah.
We did spend some that 15.8 That was some of the initial engineering from Jones and Beach for the tank. So I don't think we're going to need that kind of engineering.
But aren't we going to need engineering? Aren't we talking about doing these new projects now, like the contingency projects? Will the cost of engineering those come out of those budgets, or will it come out of here?
You can apply for engineering costs and get reimbursed for the grant. In the beginning of this, we decided as a board not to apply for the reimbursement for engineering. We wanted to get as much water project done as we could. That's why we put it into the budget.
Right. So if there are other contingency projects that Paula just mentioned, and it looks like we have money in our reserve funds, and also contingency money based on the loan or the grant, do we go ahead with those? But, of course, to go ahead with those would cause us to first get engineering done before anything takes place.
Well, Jay, remember, on that 321-page document, we already did the engineering for those add alternatives, didn't we?
No, I don't think so. To be honest with you, we don't have
It was like the big loop and something on Interlaken. So there was some engineering already done for some of those additional projects, which is how they came up with prices.
Yeah, I did see in the drawing the big loop, the new pipeline. But other than just having it on a drawing of a map, that's all that's been done. I don't think there's been any engineering involved as far as putting in isolation valves every 400 feet or whatever you would have in that case. I've never seen that.
Some work has been done. Some work has been done on those other four projects.
Oh yeah.
So what do we want to do? You want to keep some money in there, but make it 8,000 instead of 15?
Yeah, cut it in half in case we have to engineer a new pump somewhere.
Okay. All right. And then water monitoring. We've gotten Ian's bills through. We haven't gotten November and December yet. So I think we already knew that this was going to be, let me look at this again.
I did reach out to Ian, but I haven't heard back if he could get us the bills
before
the end of the year.
Yeah.
Right, so divide by 10 months. He still owes us 2 months.
Well, it's always the same every month, isn't it? His bill.
Yeah, 19-7. So.
Yeah, that's his monthly bill.
Yeah, and that's a flat rate, so that's what it will come out to. We still owe him for November and December.
So how much will it come out?
This is something.
So what will it come out on, right on budget at 19.8? Is that pretty much
19.620 is what it'll come out to.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And increased it this year, right? So are we anticipating he'll increase it next year at some point?
No, it's a two-year contract.
Okay. Right, so Donna, this is another area. We budgeted for propane heat for the pump houses, and we've got nothing posted to that. So we have to go back and figure that out, go back to the propane bills, and maybe reallocate some of that fund.
Oh, okay.
Because that might come out of the propane heat for the government and general buildings, because it's up at so we got to figure out the heating and the electricity to make sure that's all stuck to the right accounting areas. So okay. Because there is propane heat for the pump houses, and they should be in that category.
Okay, I was when I started doing the billing, I was just copying what Nancy did.
No, I know, and it's challenging at best to figure that all out. All right.
Yeah.
And then the SCADA system, there's a contract with electrical installations because they monitor our SCADA system, and I think it gives us X amount of hours of technical support. But if things need to be purchased and repairs made, like the antenna was broken and things like that, those are items that we have to pay for. So we kind of got out of it fairly cheaply this year with $48.97. So we budget $6,000. I would leave $6,000.
Okay.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. All right. So that's kind of where we stand. So the the water, if we do everything that we've proposed for the water, we're going to be under a little bit of budget of what we were last year. And then the operating stuff, I think some of the electrical and heating costs, propane, electricity, might get moved over into the water side that is ended up in the operating side. So we might be able to get that 573 down a little bit. And it'd be nice if we could get it down below what, at least equal to what it was for this year. I don't know if we can or not.
Yeah.
Okay. But again, don't forget, there's the two major increases are going to be the payments, the loan payments. So it's 10, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. So it's almost $29,000 in payments that we didn't have last year. So if you put $30,000 off the 573, we're actually going to be operating at a lower budget, but you got to include the payments. The payments are the payments.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay?
Well, when you were like, when you plug all the new numbers and you can send us out a revision, and then before, obviously, way before the budget hearing, we'll be able to update this also if we have any more tweaks because of the actuals that come in, you know, if something comes in that we're...
Yeah, I'll update the actuals as we do the next manifest, and then investigate some of these anomalies and get everything kind of tweaked into the right categories.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I'm happy with the way the warrant articles are. And we can go ahead and tweak this a little bit as we go.
So I have a question for you guys. Let's have a quick discussion about Kelly's suggestions. So reclaim and repave Chicorua he's got 37,000, and I don't know if we use that number. That was from a year ago, or if we just put in 40,000. But do we agree that we want to put in for that, recommend that as a Warren article?
I drive that road, and I know Kelly's hesitation that if people don't drive on it, they don't necessarily see the value in maintaining it. But, Jay, I know you can speak to that's a pretty steep area, and if we don't fix that, the whole thing is just going to become a severe hazard.
It's just going to be a mudslide. You're going to basically have to close the road because you can't afford to maintain it if it was left to gravel.
Okay, so we think that's important.
I think, Paula, with your question, I think when it deserves to become discussion amongst the voters and then for them to decide is when you're really reclaiming a road. There have been in the past where paved roads were unpaved. They were ground up and left as gravel, and people were furious that lived on these paved roads that they were not consulted with, nor was it brought ever to a discussion as to whether to repave it again or reconstruct it. But it was just basically removed from in front of their house. They could tell their neighbors, I live on a paved street. Now they have to tell everyone, I live on a gravel road. So I think it's important that it does get brought before the voters. This one, to be honest with you, I'm shocked at the price. And this is a total reconstruct for this road, so I'm very happy
this
to see
Chicorua View Road, the whole way, he's saying, all the way down to the bottom.
Well,
the way from Oak Ridge all the way down is what he's saying.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll drive out there I just want to make sure I know what road it is, what section.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And you can see... just so you know, you'll see some shimming that was done on it. That was done last year. And to be honest with you, it's really not there anymore.
it's all busted up. It's all busted up.
That's
you're surprised that this it isn't more, is what you're saying, to repave it. But this is
I thought that it'd be a much higher cost because they're going to bring in that milling machine that grinds up the existing pavement, and they use that as a base material, and then they'll go over it with a 2-inch and a 1-inch overlay.
Yeah, they can't just pave over this. They got to take it all of it. Yeah, it's
reclaim.
Really bad.
That's what reclaiming it means. Grinding it up.
Yeah.
Is that what okay.
Yeah, grind up and start over. Yep.
Okay. And then he also asked about this new blower for the ditches, the $6,000. Do we want to put that in as a Warren article?
Yep.
Okay.
So
I mean, that's,
you know,
that makes sense to me.
My thoughts are, you know, what is it that we actually spend on renting that blower from Coleman? And it's not the greatest thing. It's a landscaper's tool.
Right.
But I bet we don't pay any more than $800 a year to rent that for a couple of weeks. So my point is that we're going to use this, obviously, to blow leaves out of the ditches, but theoretically we only have leaves, 2 weeks out of the year? But unless, and I hope Kelly, and I he didn't mention this, but we're now starting to see, especially on Oak Ridge, where the ditches that are being constructed more professionally are being lined with that 6-inch riprap stone. And for anybody that's going to clean that out of leaves or debris, it's near impossible because you're going to twist your ankle just walking on those things. So there is a benefit to having this. This is like a jet aircraft blower. It will really remove anything that's in those ditches. But
what do you mean we only have leaves 2 weeks a year? We have leaves all the time.
Yeah, that's
going to
be the argument. Yeah, it's going to be the argument. Why are we buying an expensive machine for just 2 weeks out of the year when the leaves fall off the trees? So we have to try to justify that.
Well, the leaves don't magically disappear after 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
I've never heard of that. That's an interesting argument.
Leaves. But the thing is, they do is blow back into the ditches. Yeah.
Well, they're going to blow them into everybody's yards is what they're going to do. I mean, that's,
We've had complaints about that, where the guys have driven by with the Coleman rental leaf blower and blown leaves into people's yards that they have just raked. So I don't know. I don't know. I guess it's worth a discussion. I know Madison
I think you got, yeah. Yeah. We got to get, that's why the culverts are all blocked up, because they're full of leaves. Yeah. I mean,
right.
Of course.
Yeah, but Madison
I
really
thing makes sense.
Yeah, Madison went and bought a used leaf sucker, which is one piece of equipment that they have now, and then they also are going ahead to buy a very similar leaf blower. So they're getting two pieces of equipment. But, we have to be careful. Where are we going to blow the leaves is going to be the question. And the answer is going to be onto your property.
Well, it's the same place. I mean, blowing in the same place they've always done is just going to be much more efficient.
Right, right.
To me, this makes sense. I mean, of all the things.
Yeah, to be honest with you, Jeff and Kelly do spend at least 2 to 3, if not 4 weeks, if the weather's good, trying to clean the ditches. And they did a good job this year. The weather was with them, so they had a good job. Now, obviously, Paul is right. Leaves blow back to where they once came from, but at least helps them in as far as getting they'll be able to do it a lot faster next year. Let's put it that way, if they had this machine.
And you know what? If they're renting it, if they're trying to rent it from Coleman, so is everybody else. So you're limited in your scheduling by depending on having something available to rent when they really need it.
Right. Right.
So this will give them a little bit more play. And so they may come up and they may say, oh, my God, today's beautiful. Let's just do it. And they don't have to worry about calling Coleman's and getting it lined up and going and picking it up and bringing it back. And, it's a lot of money, but it does seem to be something that there's been complaints about from DPW since I can remember, that they would really like to have something to help with removing the leaves.
Right. And I like the fact that it's hydraulic. In other words, there's no motor to maintain with this one, like the one that Madison wants to buy. So you just hook it up to the hydraulic hoses on the backhoe, and it automatically runs off that engine. So it's a very simple machine.
Yeah. And remember the one they wanted a couple of years ago? It was the name of an animal. I don't know what it was. But that was going to suck up the leaves and mulch them. But with all the gravel and the dirt and the rocks, that would have been not a good decision.
Was that called the
goat or the gator or?
Billy goat.
Okay.
So that was sucking up the leaves, and yes, that'd be great for the neighborhood to get rid of them and mulch them, but you'd be sucking up all that rock and gravel, and that would not be good.
Right. You destroy the machine.
Yeah, it would. So okay.
Well, I guess the last question for final discussion will be the little loop drainage situation, because I'm hard pressed to get this one. Like I think I voted against this last year, and I struggle with how important this is for this kind of money for this road. I mean, I guess the question is what's the downside? Like, is there drainage issues into the pond for, like, stormwater management? Is it that it's just inconvenient for the people who live on this road to drive down it? I don't know. No one's really ever explained this to me about what I feel like I really understand why we should spend this kind of money on this road. But I don't know. I walk on this road a lot. I walk this road this year. I've walked on it a lot. And I can tell you, like, you know, it's not the greatest road, but it's also, you know, it's not heavily trafficked either. So
I think Kelly's concern was the middle of the road is very low. So whenever, you know, the middle of that loop, that center section is very low, so it accumulates water, especially in the wintertime when it thaws, freezes, it becomes a real mess down there. That's one of the problems. I think at the top of that road on the opposite side, not the 1, 2, 3, 4 side, but the other side, there is fairly steep there, and there's a lot of runoff there that goes down past the first house on the right down into the pond. That was an area of concern. The road's never been surveyed, so Kelly's hesitant to do any kind of ditching because we're not even sure exactly where the boundaries are of the road. So that was, and we some trees were taken down 2 years ago, more of them should be taken down so he can do some effective ditching and move the water off the road, to crown the road and have the water shed off the road, not settle into the road. But he said, I could do that, but before I do it, I want to know where the road is because, you know, we legally can't start doing work on other people's property. So I think those were the main reasons why he felt and like Kelly said, he hates to spend money. He treats it like his own wallet. But he said, you know, it's the only road that really hasn't had a comprehensive design done to it, and even a survey to know exactly where the road sort of was a cow path that evolved into what it is. But is our 40-foot right-of-way, I mean, is the 40-foot wide piece of property that we own, is that little road on the left of it, the right of it, or in the center of it? That's what he wants to know, where exactly that 40-foot strip of land is that the district owns. So, Those were his arguments, and he said that way from the beginning of this whole project, you know, that whole road needed to be done, and he can do it, but he just wants guidance as to, like he said, you know, he can build a house as long as somebody gives him the plan.
Yeah, it's a lot of money I think you're going to get into for, you know, for one.
And I get it, it's only going to help people that live there, but it also helps DPW, so that's kind of his thought, that it would just make it
maybe I'll start trying to walk it. I don't think I walked it much in the winter. I walked that road a lot, and I've never seen any, like, you know, but we had a drought this year, but I think I'm going to walk it a few times in the next couple weeks and as the snow comes in and see what I think, because I hear what you're saying. I just think it's a lot of money to try and persuade people to spend on you know, on it right now, so I don't know.
Hey, guys, I just wanted to let you know, I reached out yesterday to Colleen, who is the administrator for the ZBA and the planning board, and I asked her to send me the latest copy of the drawing for 13 East Bergamo. They're requesting a variance from setbacks for wetlands. We had talked about this last week. So I was planning on going to the meeting tonight. I'm not going to be in Madison. I'm actually in Boston right now. And so I had reached out to her again, asking if she could send me the call-in number as well as the drawings, and I haven't heard anything yet. So I might not be able to communicate our concerns at tonight's meeting. I did talk with a resident who called me yesterday. They're also concerned about the variance requests, and they also want to dial into the meeting for the ZBA and possibly voice their objection. So I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to get on the call because there's nothing on their website about calling in. It should be there if it's a public meeting, but I don't.
Do you want me to call the town hall now and see if I can get a number?
I'll do that right now myself, actually, and call Linda and see if there is a call-in number, but there's nothing listed on the ZBA website. I saw that.
Yeah. They have their own website or just their page? I mean,
well,
I thought all the meetings
would
call into.
Yeah, and yeah, there is some information. I did look at the posting that was sent certified mail to the office about this hearing. There's no ability for abutters to call in because there's no number listed.
Was a Zoom meeting that they had the computer that they'd had to turn around each time?
Yep. Mm-hmm. They do, but that's usually just with their members, the ZBA members.
I call
Linda. I mean, and I have to say, I mean, we should be protesting if they're not having a call-in number. This is insane.
Right. Yeah.
Somebody should be like saying they cannot be making. They have to allow for call-in.
That's what the current COVID RSA governor's executive order states, is that you have to allow public access remotely to any public meeting.
Right. So I would basically call Linda. If she can't give that to you, send a note to the selectmen and to the zoning board. Like, send them an email this afternoon and just protest and say, we want to attend. According to this RSA, you need to allow us for remote access. Otherwise, you need to cancel your meeting.
Right.
Reschedule your meeting. That's crazy.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what I would do. I mean...
Okay. Absolutely. Anything else through the meeting?
Nope. I don't think we have anything else. I'll do the minutes. I've been taking notes, so I will try and write those up this afternoon, so we can approve them tomorrow.
Okay.
Yep. I'll put together.
I'll send you the agenda that we have and the manifest and the copy of the timesheet.
Okay.
I just have to print the manifest off. I've done it while I was talking to you.
All right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Look at you multitasking.
I'm trying. I'm trying.
I simply wanted you to be able to work, so that's good.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Thank you. Jane, while I have you, actually, the three is on the phone. Kathy came down yesterday, helped me with that was 91A's. There's a couple of invoices that Adam's requesting back from 2015, and those would probably be up at the lodge. I don't know. I've never been up at the lodge. We did have an issue with the lodge with the modern pest because not the modern pest, the fire inspection for the fire extinguishers. Kelly didn't have the code. I don't know the code to the lodge. And
Jay, when will you be back in the district, do you think?
I'm going to be coming back Friday.
Okay. Because I'm not comfortable going in. I have no idea where those boxes are and how they're organized. So we kind of delegated you to go up there and drag those 2015 bills out for us.
Okay. All right, so I'll bring those down to Friday.
Okay. I can send you what I'm looking for. But like I said, the inspector was here for the fire extinguishers, and Kelly and myself didn't have the code. So
okay.
I don't know.
I'll give you the code today, Donna. I'll go up and make sure it still works, and I'll have that, so you have that written down somewhere.
Okay, beautiful. Thank you so much.
Okay.
So do we have to make a motion? I'll make a motion that we adjourn the meeting to 12:54.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Yeah. Aye.
Okay.
You can stop the recording, Donna, if you want.
Okay. Yeah.